Now let us reason. You open up the room with some prayers from the Quran. I think it's only fair if you have Haki begin the session in prayer for the Christians.
No, I didn't open up the room with any prayers from the Quran. Someone just jumped up to the mic and did that. I don't have any prayers on that. I just want to, let's hurry up and get this debate on the way.
All right, we came in here with some Quranic recitation, which is also prayers. So if I came in with that, don't you think it's only fair he begins the word prayer?
Okay, go ahead, but I was just saying that, no, I didn't start it out. Someone jumped to the mic and did it. So go ahead and let's, you could start it with a Christian prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay, can Muhammad in the Bible, can you please put your hand down? The debate has not started, and brother, you're not part of this debate, so please remain until the debate is over. Please put your hand down, brother Muhammad, in the Bible, unless you want to get bounced. Please, you have to respect both debaters in here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, everyone, bow your head in prayer with me here. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne, and we ask you to give this a blessing and edify Jesus within this debate. Heavenly Father, we ask that you please bless Sam answering Islam in this debate. Give him the words of wisdom to uplift Jesus Christ, to edify his name and lift him up on high. We ask everyone in this room to please be very respectful in this room. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to please bless everyone in here to hear these words that are about to be spoken in this room between these two debaters. We ask that you please bless everyone in this room. Please, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' holy name, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to everyone in this room right now. Send the Holy Spirit to them right now and just comfort them. In Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Amen.
So then, Islamic brother, I think we're ready to begin. In about 10 seconds, why don't you invite me to the mic, and then I can go ahead and start my 25-minute presentation. I think everyone know, or the moderators know, what the time allocation for each speaker. So let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu as-salamu ala rasulillah. Brother, let us reason. Nabi Ahmed, please come to the mic and start your 25 minutes, please. Okay, once again, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The debate is going on right now. We'll start in 2 seconds between answering Islam and Nadi Ahmed. Please, Nadi Ahmed, come to the mic, inshallah.
Okay, sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical problem. 1 second.
Okay, before the debate starts, then, I would like to take the opportunity to ask, what's going on with AD 1973 and this Dane 52? If the moderator from... come to the mic, Sam, ask what's going on, what's the deal with these two brothers?
I don't know which two brothers you're talking about. I know that AD 1973 will be posting the verses for me. Hockeytown is an admin. You said another brother. I don't know who the other brother is, to be honest with you. I just know AD 1973 will be the gentleman posting verses for me.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, bil alameen. Brother, let us reason, Ali Ahmed. Please start your 25 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's debate. The subject of today's discussion is what the Bible, or what the Quran has to say about the Bible. Now, I'd like to begin by stating that what Muslims believe in regards to what the Quran says about the Bible. We as Muslims believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that it was a revelation given from God to the Prophet. But it has been changed and it has been corrupted throughout the ages. And I will be producing many verses and proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah which substantiate that point. Now my opponent tonight, Adam Shimon, on the other hand, believes that the Quran states that the Bible is the uncorrupt, pure Word of God. And by holding this position, he hopes that he can convince Muslims not to challenge the integrity of the Bible and accept it as a full authoritative scripture. So then I will also be moving to refute many of the claims made by Sam Shimon. So really tonight, really all I need to do tonight is simply state that simply refute Sam Shimon on his claims. Because it is not important for me tonight to show people that the Quran claims that the Bible is corrupt. Because it is enough to simply hold a position that, a neutral position, neither corrupt or corrupt, and simply let the readers figure it out for themselves. So that in itself will refute many of the claims made by answering Islam. But nevertheless, the Quran does state that the Bible has been corrupted, and I will be producing those verses. Let me start off by saying that corruption comes in two forms. The first form is by corrupting the actual text itself. For example, we have two books, Book A and Book B. Book A is the literal Word of God. And let's say that in Book A it says that Jack went up the hill. But when, and Book B is actually a copy of Book A. So what I write down in Book B, I write Jack went down the hill. So what I have done is that I have corrupted the Word. Instead of up, I wrote down. Another way you can corrupt the text is by corrupting it by your interpretation. Going back to the same example, in Book A, if it says Jack went up the hill, but my interpretation of that is Jack went to a higher understanding of truth. That's what the verse means. So then what I write down inside Book B is my corrupt interpretation, which is Jack went to a higher understanding of knowledge, of truth, excuse me. I don't write that Jack went up the hill, which is what Book A states. And then Book A disappears and all we are left with is Book B. So these are the two ways of how the Bible or how any scripture can get corrupted. It can get corrupted by interpretation as well as corrupting the very word itself. Now let me show you some verses from the Quran which clearly speak about the Bible being corrupted. Chapter 2, verse 79, it says over there, and this whole passage actually is talking about the Jews from the very beginning, from I believe the first 70 verses onward, it's chastising the Jews on, and it says, then woe to those who write the book with their own hands, and then say, this is from Allah, to purchase with it a little price. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they have earned thereby. Now the book here is referring to the book given to Moses. That we read a little bit a ways down inside chapter 2 verse 87. It says, and indeed we gave Moses the book, followed him up with successions and messengers. So here is a clear, explicit verse which talks about the corruption of the Jewish scriptures. Now let's go and see what the early Muslims believed about chapter 2 verse 79. We go to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, these are the authoritative interpretations of the Quran from the early Muslims. Here's what he has to say. Ibn Wahab said that Ibn Zayd commented that they used to hear the word of Allah, the Torah, and they used to change it. They altered the Torah that Allah revealed to them, making it say that the lawful is unlawful and the prohibited is allowed. And that what is right is false, and what is false is right. So here we have a clear statement from the Salaf saying that they tampered and changed with the Torah. And you will find the same view held by other tafsir writers, whether it's Qurtubi, At-Tabri, Sayyuti and al-Badawi. In fact, almost all the tafsirs of early Islam show that the Bible in verse 279 has been corrupted. So when you have all these tafsir literatures, Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir, al-Tabri, al-Sayyuti, this shows that this is the consensus view of the early Muslims. That is what they believe from the companions on downwards. Now, even if you read in al-Baghawi and al-Suyuti, they go on to state even more that the Jews and corrupted the Torah in the very prophecies of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So they even go on and state that. And then going on the above verse, chapter 2, verse 59, it says, "But those who did wrong changed the words from their right, changed the word that which had been given to them for another." Al-Bukhari recorded that Abu Huraira saying that the Prophet said that they were told to say hitta when entering the door, but they changed the word to hibba, which is a complete different meaning. Let's go on and take a look at another verse which talks about the corruption of the Christian scriptures. It says inside chapter 4, verse 157, "And because of their saying, we killed Messiah Isa, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put over another man." Now, let me ask a question. What book is it which teaches the Christians that Jesus is crucified? Any third grader can answer that. It is the Bible. That is what the Christians use to justify their beliefs on crucifixion. Now let me continue with a verse. "And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture." Again, I ask the question, what is it that the Christians follow which teaches them that Jesus was crucified? I think there can be no doubt about it that the Christians follow the Bible. That's what teaches them. But look what the Quran says. They follow nothing but conjecture. And conjecture is a form of corruption. Even Sam Shimon will agree upon that. So can we also read this verse as saying they follow nothing but corruption? Of course. And look what the verse says above. "And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge." People who believe in crucifixion have no certain knowledge, but we all know that they had the Bible in their hand. So this is not only talking about the Bible, but this is talking about all the Christians that believe in the Bible, as well as the very Bible authors themselves. Therefore, not only do we find a clear charge of Bible corruption in this verse, but we also find a sweeping indictment of all the Bible authors and all the people who follow them. The verse is clearly speaking of Bible corruption, and that conclusion is inescapable from this verse. There is no way that the Bible can escape this indictment. And if I am wrong, I challenge Sam Shimon to come to me and say, no. The Bible is actually exempt from this verse. I would like to see that. Therefore, what we see here is that the Quran is clearly accusing the New Testament of corruption. And it does it in its own little sweet way. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and that's the lesson we learned from it. There's more than one way to convey the message that your book is wrong. Now, moving on, inside chapter 48, verse 29, the Quran presents an acid test. This is a test to show if the Bible has been corrupted or not. It says over there, inside chapter 48, verse 29, "But their description in the Injil and the Gospel is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoots, then makes it strong, then it becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the sower that he may enrage the disbelievers therein." So what the Quran here is saying is that this verse is supposed to be in the Injil. So an uncorrupt Bible is supposed to have this verse. So I would like Sam Shimon to come up and show me where this verse is in the Bible. Because the Quran says this is supposed to be in the Injil, which is, of course, the revelation given to Jesus. And I don't think he will be able to find it. The closest you're going to find, I think, is chapter 4, verse 27. And that is, "But yet, it's not the same." And when Sam Shimon will read the verse, you'll see, this is not the same. Therefore, we see that the Bible fails this acid test of the Quran. leaving the reader with no other conclusion other than that the Bible has been corrupted. So in light of this example alone, I don't know if anyone with the least bit of intellectual honesty that can go around saying the Bible claims, the Quran claims that the Bible is uncorrupt. This is a myth which is being propagated all over the internet. Now let's go to the hadith and look at some evidences from the hadith. Going to Bukhari, Kitab al-Tawheed, remember this chapter, Kitab al-Tawheed, volume 9, book number 93, number 614, hadith number 614. Narrated Ubaydullah bin Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, O the group of Muslims, how can you ask the people of the scriptures about anything while your book which Allah has revealed to you, to your prophet, contains the most recent news from Allah and is pure and not distorted? Allah has told you that the people of the scripture have changed some of Allah's books and distorted it and wrote something with their own hands and said this is from Allah so as to have a minor gain for it. This is another allusion to chapter 2 verse 79, the verse which I read to you. Woe to those who write the book with their own hands. So we see from this one hadith a very clear and explicit condemnation of the Bible that the people changed it. Now, we go to Abu Dawud, volume 9, book 92, number 460. Narrated by Abu Huraira, the people of the book used to read the Torah in Hebrew, and they explained it in Arabic to the Muslims. Allah the Apostle said to the Muslims, do not believe in the people of the book, nor disbelieve in them, but say we believe in Allah and whatever is revealed to us and whatever is revealed to you. So we are supposed to say we believe in what was revealed to you, but don't confirm or deny what they're saying from their New Testament. And I'm asking why, if the New Testament was 100% pure word of God, why did the Rasulullah give us this strong warning? So here we see another clear proof that the Bible, which is in the hands of the Christians, this book is corrupt. Now, let me move on to, those are just some of the proofs. There's a lot more, but those are just a few which I'm going to mention for tonight. But now I want to move on to refuting some of the claims made by Sam Shimon. Let me start off by stating some of the factual errors which Sam Shimon has made inside many of his articles on answering Islam. He said, this is what he said inside the debate with Shabbir Ali. He said, all of the early Muslims believed that the Bible was the uncorrupt word of God. This was what he said in that debate. But I just quoted you Abdullah ibn Abbas. I quoted you Ibn Kathir. I quoted you Tabari, and all those Tafsir writings. I quoted you Ibn Zayd, Mujahid, all stating that the Bible has been corrupted. So this is a false statement. There's no basis for such an argument. He said Muslims who agree that the Bible is uncorrupt are people like Ibn Abbas. This is false. I quoted you Ibn Abbas. Ali al-Tabari, no, this is false. I pointed out that the tafsir of chapter 2, verse 79, Tabari clearly states that the Bible has been corrupted. And he said Ibn Taymiyyah holds this view. No, this is wrong. Ibn Taymiyyah never said this. And then he quoted people like Mahmoud Ayyub and people like Muhammad Abdu. These are nobody. We don't care about them, what they say. So, no, these are all factual errors made by him. He also said that we must also point out that the idea of the Bible being corrupted was first promoted by Ibn Khazim in 1064 A.D. This is baloney. Again, the same answer as what I gave above. Go to Ibn Kathir, go to those different references, and you will see that they are talking about the Bible being corrupted. Ibn Abbas said that too, so that is, there is no basis for such a statement. Now, Sam Shimon, of course, on this internet and talking with his Christian friends, has been promoting the view that the Bible is the uncorrupt Word of God, the pure Word of God. In fact, on July 1st, here on Pal Talk, in front of an audience of Orthodox Christians and Jews, he was seeking some help on Jeremiah 8:8. This is what Sam said. I don't believe that anyone can corrupt the Bible. He said it was a pure word of God. And he agreed with the Orthodox Jews in their belief that the Old Testament was, you know, 100% pure Word of God, which is what pretty much what most evangelical Christians believe, and he's just basically reassuring them of their faith. But now, ladies and gentlemen, prepare for the shock. I said, prepare for the shock. Because when Sam Shimon is confronted with biblical scholars or qualified critics of the Bible, this is what Sam Shimon has to say about the uncorrupt, pure Word of God.
The Bible is a miracle because no document of antiquity has come down very free without corruption. But the Bible is superior in that it has thousands of manuscripts where we can see where these variants are placed. But what about the Quran?
So we see here, he says, no manuscript has come down very and free. And in the Bible, we can find the corruption in there. We know where it is. And then he says, oh, but by the way, your Quran is the same way. Which, by the way, that's going to lead to the next debate, in which, inshallah, I will debate him on the authenticity of the Quran, and I will prove that the Quran is 100% authentic, inshallah. So Sam Shimon has to come clean tonight. He has to tell us, what does he believe about the Bible? Do you believe it's corrupt or uncorrupt? And then we can go from there. Now, let me now get off the topic of factual errors. Now let me move on to false evidences used by Sam Shimon. Now, let me first state that when we read the hadith literature, you are going to find a lot of different stuff there. For example, you're going to find stuff about statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're going to find, statements of the companions, the statements of historians, statements of talk on the street, what people have been saying. And you'll find true hadiths and false hadiths. So my point is, the hadith literature is a conglomeration of a lot of different stuff. And you kind of have to sift through it and find out what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. One of the things you're going to find inside the hadith literature are something called Israeliyats. And what Israeliyats are basically sayings and traditions which originated with Jewish and Christian traditions, but they did not originate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the people who was very famous for narrating the Israeliyats was a man named Wahab bin Munabbih. And it's been stated in many places that he has been narrating a lot of the Israeliyats. Because you have to understand that he lived in Yemen. And Yemen at that time was a place where the Jews and the Christians used to reside. He himself never actually met the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now he has a saying in which he says, "The Torah and the Injil remained as Allah revealed them, and no letter in them was removed. However, the people misguided others by additional and false interpretations." And it goes on. Now, it should come as no surprise that Sam Shimon has been using this and debating with this piece of evidence. And do you know what he calls this? Early Islamic sources. Early Muslims believe that the Bible was corrupt, quoting Israeliyats, but yet he doesn't tell you that he's quoting Israeliyats, even though that has been clearly identified inside the hadith literature. And that, when I see stuff like that, that is what prompted me to challenge Sam Shimon for a debate, because this is false evidence. Let's go on and take a look at another example. Inside Bukhari, again, going back to that book I told you, remember, Kitab al-Tawheed. Over there, not in the text, but somebody wrote in the footnote. This is not in the text, but in the footnote, about what Ibn Mas'ud said, that they corrupt the word, meaning they alter or change its meaning, yet no one is able to change even a single word from any book of God. Again, I really don't have a lot of problem with this, because I told you, the book can be corrupted by two means. By your false interpretation, where, like I said, from book A it says Jack went up the hill, but you think it's Jack who went to a higher understanding of knowledge, and that's what you write down in the copy, your interpretation. But still, we cannot use this as evidence, because this is not an actual hadith. This is a comment and saying in a footnote. This is not in the text. And we don't even know where this hadith came from, who narrated it. But when we go to the book, Kitab al-Tawheed, what do we find there? We do find the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas about this subject. And that was a hadith which I just narrated to you, in which he said that, and let me read it to you again. He stated that, narrated by Ubaidullah bin Abdullah and many other people. Oh, the group of Muslims, how can you ask the people of the scripture about anything while your book, which Allah has revealed to your prophet, contains the most recent news from Allah and is pure and not distorted? Allah has told you that the people of the scripture have changed some of Allah's books and distorted it and wrote something with their own hands and said, this is from Allah, so as to have a minor gain for it. This is not what is written in the footnote. That is what is written in the text. And this is the authentic hadith, and we have many other authentic hadiths like that. So this is so what we find here in the footnote, we can't even call it a hadith. For me to say it's a false hadith would be misrepresentation, because it's not even a hadith. It's just someone's personal comment, which they wrote in the footnote. So again, he has used some of these evidences as proof to show, to prove his case. So I believe that's pretty much all I have. I had to go first today. Exam insisted that I go first. So what I will do is that I will, on my next time I come up, which I believe is 15 minutes, I will respond to many of the claims made by Sam Shimon trying to prove that the Quran states that the Bible is the uncorrupt word of God. So with that, I turn the mic over to the moderator.
Okay, Jazakallah Khair, Akhi, Nadi Ahmed. That was Nadi Ahmed with his first 25 minutes. I must say, Nadi Ahmed, you shortened your 25 minutes to 21 minutes. If you want to take you 4 minutes, you can take them. If not, I would like the other debater answering Islam, Sam Shimon, to come to the mic, inshallah. Okay, to your mic.
Okay,
Sam.
Before I begin, is everything clear, coming in clear? Is it everything coming in clear before I do? All right. When the moderator tells me begin, I can begin by the grace of God. AD, are you ready?
Okay, very well, Eddie. Come to the mic, answer in Islam. Study 25 minutes, inshallah.
Okay. Now, AD, are you ready? I just want to know, are you ready? Okay. Hold on, brother. I just want to make sure AD is ready. I'm sorry, brother. Hold on. Okay, can I begin, moderator? Can you put a 1 in the text? I can begin. This is going to be easier than I thought. All right. Can you put a 1? Okay, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me preface some comments here before I, get into the evidence as why the first Muslims believe that the Bible is corrupt. Again, hold on a second. Someone said AD is red dotted. Hold on. Please, no PMs. My view of the Quran and the early Islamic traditions is that it's a record of what the first Muslims believed. It's not a divine record or inspired record. It's simply a record that tells me what the first Muslims believed regarding certain issues, such as the Bible. So therefore, let us reason quoted chapter 4, verse 157, as proof that the Bible is corrupt because the Quran denies the crucifixion. That's actually begging the crucifixion. He assumes the Quran is the word of God and therefore proceeds to attack the Bible based on that assumption. When in fact, because the Quran supports the Bible, that means when the Quran contradicts the Bible, the Quran... Quran is wrong. Wahab bin Munabba was not a companion of Muhammad.
Okay, brother Anton Islam, your mic is breaking up.
Okay, hola.
Sam, answering Islam. You're breaking up here. You're lagging really bad. I'm not sure if you're getting pop-ups or not. You're probably getting a pop-up. Try again, okay?
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay, go ahead, Letter Season.
Yeah, Sam, you're breaking up real bad. All I just want to say is that, you know, if it continues, I want to give you as much time as you want because I want to respond to you. So, you know, if it continues, then we'll just throw out the time. So, go back. You can go to the mic.
I can't hear you. We're having problems with this. Okay, am I coming in clear?
Answering Islam, you were coming in clear for a little while, and then you fade away. You're lagging really bad. Try again, will you? If not, if you're lagging, you might want to close down the program, ping or something, and then come back.
Hello, am I coming in, guys? I don't know what's going on. My computer's freezing here.
If I could offer a sort of a solution here, if Sam cannot get his mic working, what we can do is he could type, and he could have perhaps Hockey Town read out what he types. And then, you know, we don't have to have like a time limit or something like that. Just give him like 30 minutes or something like that, and because I really want to make sure that this debate goes ahead. I don't want to, you know, have to abort the debate because of technical problems. So, I mean, that's just an idea I'm throwing out. Maybe that's doable.
Answering Islam, close down the program, come back, okay? Close down the program and come back and try again, okay? Can you hear? Answering Islam, if you can hear me, please type one in text. If not, let me PM him here. Hang on a minute.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. We're still on the topic, is the Quran, excuse me, is the Bible saying the Quran is corrupt? Answering Islam is having some technical difficulties. Please bear with the brother. I'm sure he will reboot his PC or something, inshallah. He'll be coming back to the mic soon. Okay, folks, we're still in the debate. Brother, let us reason that the Ahmed had his 25 minutes already finished. We're now into the 25 minutes of Answering Islam, Sam Shimon's time. Sam Shimon is having some technical difficulties. He will be rebooting his PC and coming back to the microphone soon, inshallah. So those who are listening and the respective guests in the room, please bear with us.
Yeah, just so the other admins in the room here, let us reason, Islamic brother. If Sam can't get his sound up and going here, I'm sure he would want it this way. He's going to probably want to do this another day, maybe tomorrow or Saturday, whatever day this is. If he can't get it going, he's not going to want me to speak for him. So just a little information for you. I already know that's going to happen. If he can't get his sound going, that is. So hopefully he'll return soon.
I won't accept that. We scheduled the debate for today.
I'm sorry, I dropped the mic. What I'm saying is that I'm sorry, I won't accept that. And I warned him, please make sure your microphone is working. So we're not going to do it that way. If he cannot get his microphone down, he's not going to run away. We're going to continue with this debate. So I want to make sure that's very clear. He can type, and somebody can read after him, and we won't put a time on him. That is the way we will do it. That's not fair.
Let us reason. You're starting to cry over spilled milk. I just explained to you that Answering Islam will want to speak for himself. The debate wasn't set up where both mics will be. If there's a problem here, obviously this will be taken care of very soon. So he'll be back very soon. Matter of fact, there he is. Come on up, Answering Islam.
Yeah, in fact, every one of his points, I've already addressed them in my paper without even hearing his presentation. So I'm excited to refute him here in front of the Muslims. But is my sound coming in clearly? The Lord has delivered this guy into my hand. Has my sound coming in clearly?
Oops, sorry. AI, yes, you're coming in good. Sorry about that.
Okay, if it's coming in good, can I begin? Because I want to deal with these weak points and the false accusations. I'm going to show that he's misquoted and misinterpreted his own sources and actually went so far as to lie to the Muslims. All right, praise the Lord Jesus, I begin. Let me know when I start breaking up. Okay, AD, I need you to do me a favor. I want you to go to the first section of my paper, where it says, number one, the Quran presumes that the previous revelation was available during Muhammad's time. You're going to find there a commentary by Ibn Kathir on Surah 378. You should find it. I want you to post it here because let us reason try to make light of the fact of an alleged footnote in Bukhari as if that's not significant for the debate. But I'm going to show him what Ibn Kathir said about that alleged footnote. Again, he tried to relegate it to a footnote. Let's see what he says. Do me a favor, quote it there for me so that everyone could see it. I'm going to read. This is Ibn Kathir, the very one that let us reason, try to appeal to him. By the way, Ibn Kathir did not believe that the scripture was intact, but that's irrespective of what the first Muslims believed. Now, this is his commentary, and I'm going to read it. And again, excuse my mispronunciation of the Arabic. Mujahid al-Shabi al-Hassan Qatada and Rabi bin Anas said that who distort the book with their tongues means they alter Allah's words. Now I'm going to read the part which let us reason try to just brush aside. Where did this footnote from Bukhari come from? Someone or Bukhari himself? Notice what Ibn Kathir says. Al-Bukhari reported that Ibn Abbas said that the ayah means they alter and add, although none among Allah's creation can remove the words of Allah from His books. Now notice Ibn Kathir's comment. He says, Al-Bukhari said that Ibn Abbas said that. But let us reason, try to pull a fast one in front of the audience and saying, oh, it's just a footnote, we don't know where it comes from. In point of fact, it comes from Bukhari claiming that this comes from Ibn Abbas. And I'll address his appeal to Ibn Abbas's statement regarding the alleged impurity of the text. I've already written a response to that. And as you read the rest of the quotation, the reason why let us reason try to attack Wahab bin Munabbah is because Wahab bin Munabbah produces evidence from the earliest Muslims, the Sahabi being Ibn Abbas, and then their followers, that the first Muslims did not believe in the corruption of Scripture. He says the Torah and Injil remain as Allah revealed them, and no letter in them was removed. Now I want to make a comment here. He tried to brush aside Wahab bin Munabbah by appealing to the so-called Israeliyat literature. Little does he realize that other Muslims have come to the defense of Wahab bin Munabbah and said that although there were Jews who introduced false traditions, Wahab bin Munabbah was not one of them. And I allude to Islamic Awareness's website where they wrote a response to me trying to defend the integrity of Wahab bin Munabbah and Ka'b al-Ahbar. So let us reason's opinion is in the minority. It's not supported by other Muslims. Now he tried to appeal to Surah 279, as if Surah 279 establishes his case. Now Ed, do me a favor. I want you to go to section 5 of the paper to point 2. Section 5, you'll see I have some of the many common objections presented by Muslims in seeking to undermine what the Quran and First Tradition say about the Bible. Go to section 5, look for subcategory 2, on Surah 2, 79. When you get there, AD, let me know, because here's what it says. This is what it says. Get one AD for me, please. You will find that if you read the context of Surah 279, beginning with 75 to 79, you will see that whatever book they were falsifying, it did not refer to the Torah or the Gospel. Now, why do I say that? I'm waiting for him to post the text. You'll see from Surah 2, 75 to 79, here is the context that Letters Reason conveniently ignored. Go ahead, AD, please. I'm waiting for you to post it for the sake of time. And please let me know how I'm doing on time. Here you'll see, again, AD is quoting the wrong text. I'm sorry. We're having a lot of technical difficulties, and I guess our communication is not doing that well either. If you go to section 5, you'll see in subcategory 2, I quote Surah 279. This is what Let Us Reason quoted. So woe to those who write the book with their hands, and then they say, this is from Allah, that they may sell it for a little price. So woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for their earnings. Now let's read the context. Now here is the context. Can you, O men of faith, still earnestly desire that they will believe in you? And verily, a party, not all of them, verily, a party among them hear the word of God, then they pervert it knowingly after they have understood it. And when they meet the believers, they say, we believe. But when they meet each other in private, they say, why do you tell them what God has revealed to you in the Torah that they may engage you in argument about it before their God? What? Do you not understand? Do they not know that God knows what they conceal and what they make public? Among them, now here's the key verse, verse 78. Among them are unlettered folk, ummiyun, unlettered folk who know the scripture not except from hearsay, they but guess. Now, follow 79. So woe to those who write the book with their hands and then say, this is from Allah, that they may sell it for a little price. In other words, in the context, the people that are being rebuked are people who did not know the scripture, except from hearsay. So whatever they wrote was something distinct from the Torah and the Gospel, has nothing to do with the integrity of the Torah and the Gospel. In point of fact, even if Let Us Reason was correct, even if he was correct, this wouldn't say that all the Jews and Christians were corrupting the text, but a certain party. Because the same Quran testifies there were other Jews and Christians who would not pervert or sell the revelation of God. Chapter 3, verse 199. AD, please quote that for me. Chapter 3, verse 199. Quote it for me, AD. See what it says. And there are certainly among the people of the book, those who believe in God, and that which has been revealed to you, and in that which has been revealed to them, bowing in humility to God, they will not sell the signs of God for miserable gain. For them is the reward with their Lord, and God is in account. That's chapter 3, verse 199 of the Quran. So here the same Quran comes and says there's a group of Jews and Christians who believed in Revelation and will not sell it. So even if Surah 279 were to show that a group corrupted the text, that doesn't say all of them did it. In point of fact, there are a group of them who would not sell the signs of Allah. And this is stated in Surah 379. Surah 3, verse 79. It is not for a man to whom is given the book and wisdom and prophecy that he should then say to people, be worshippers of me in place of God, but rather be true teachers since you teach the book and study it earnestly. My question to Let Us Reason is, what book were they studying? What book were they teaching? And why is it that this book is presumed to be intact? Your appeal to Surah 279 didn't prove or supported your position. Now, AD, do me a favor. Go back to the top of the first section of the article and do me a favor and quote Surah 5, verse 12 to 15, because I'm going to use that as the base of my argument for the remainder of the time. And by the grace of God, I will try to seek to refute every one of the points and allegations against me. Chapter 5, verse 12 of the 15, I'm sorry. This is often quoted as if this supports Bible corruption. And here's what the passage says. It says that Allah made a covenant of old with the children of Israel and raised among them 12 chieftains, and Allah said, lo, I am with you. If you establish worship and pay the poor due and believe in my messengers and support them and lend unto Allah a kindly loan, surely I shall remit your sins and surely I will bring you into gardens underneath which rivers flow. And it goes on and says that they change words from their context and forget a part of that whereof they were admonished. Thou wilt not cease to discover treachery from all save a few of them, but bear with them and pardon them. Then it says to the Christians, we made a covenant, but they forgot a part of that wherewith they were admonished. Now this is also appealed by certain Muslims in Bible corruption. But let's note number one. Changing words from their context, as even Let Us Reason agreed, doesn't necessarily mean they change the text. It can refer to misinterpretation. In fact, elsewhere again in the Quran, Surah 3, verse 113 and 14, it speaks of a people from the book who are upright. And this is what it says. Not all of them are alike. Some of the people of the book are an upright people. They recite the signs or verses of God in the night season and they bow down worshiping. They believe in God and the last day. They command what is just and forbid what is wrong. And they hasten in good works and they are of the righteous. So even if a group perverted the text, and in the context it refers to misinterpretation, this doesn't undermine the entire group as a whole, because the Quran confirms there were Jews and Christians who didn't sell the signs, who recited the book as it was intended. Surah 7, verse 159, and Surah 7, 169 to 170. Surah 7, verse 159, and Surah 7, 169 to 70 says this, of the people of Moses, there is a section who guide and do justice in light of the truth. Now notice, there's a section who guide in light of the truth. And it says they inherit the book. Notice they inherited the book. What book did they inherit? Who was this section from the people of Moses? And it goes on to say, was not the covenant of the book taken from them, that they would not ascribe to Allah anything but the truth. And they study what is in the book. What book were they studying? What book was in their possession? Who was this group that was righteous and upright and would not pervert the word of God? In fact, since my colleague quoted Ibn Kathir, here is Ibn Kathir's commentary on Surah 5, verse 13 to 15. And this is essential because Ibn Kathir shows changing the words means misinterpretation, not corruption, to the text. And he says this in the first part. Then Allah informs us of the punishment He inflicted upon them when they violated His covenant. Allah says, because of their breach of their covenant, we have cursed them. That is because they broke their pact. Allah expelled them from His guidance and made their hearts grow hard so that they will not accept their guilt. The verse, they changed the words from their context, means that they misinterpreted the verses of Allah. Notice that Ibn Kathir says that this passage only establishes misinterpretation and not textual corruption. Now, AD, do me a favor. Swing to the next page and quote Sahih al-Bukhari, the very citation that Let Us Reason sought to undermine by saying it was only a footnote. On the contrary, according to Ibn Kathir, this was Bukhari's statement on what Ibn Abbas said. And you'll see that I quote Bukhari from Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tawheed. And it says, they corrupt means they alter or change its meaning. Yet no one is able to change even a single word from any book of God. The meaning is that they interpret the word wrongly. This is from Bukhari commenting on what Ibn Abbas said. Not just a footnote that Let Us Reason tried to brush aside. Now the next one. In Sunan Abu Dawud, book 38, number 44, verse 34, this is what we are told. This is what we are told. Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar, it says a group of Jews invited the Apostle to collect of Allah, so he was visited them in their school. And then they asked him about fornication regarding a man and a woman. So they asked him to pronounce judgment, and this is what he said. He says, bring the Torah. It was then brought. He then withdrew the cushion from beneath him and placed the Torah on it, saying, I believe in thee and in whom who revealed thee. Here's my question, Let Us Reason. What Torah was in his hand? What Torah did he confirm that he believed in? What Torah did he press and place on a cushion? This is from Sunan Abu Dawud, the very Abu Dawud you try to quote to prove otherwise, which I will be addressing in the rebuttal period. In the next one, Ibn Kathir, commenting on this very hadith, and he says, they arranged a pillow for the Messenger of Allah, and he sat on it and said, bring the Torah to me. He was brought the Torah, he removed the pillow from underneath him, and placed the Torah on it, saying, I trust in you and he who revealed you, he who revealed it to you. Now this is Muhammad's words again from Ibn Kathir. And now notice what Ibn Kathir says. These hadiths state that the Messenger of Allah issued a decision that conforms with the ruling in the Torah, not to honor the Jews in what they believe, for the Jews were commanded to follow the law of Muhammad. But now notice what Ibn Kathir says. Rather, the Prophet did this because Allah commanded him to do so. So according to Ibn Kathir, Muhammad was commanded by Allah to follow the Torah in his possession as far as this ruling concerning stoning is concerned. Why is it that Muhammad fails to mention that the Torah was corrupt? Why does he praise it? And why does Allah command him to follow its injunction regarding what it says about adultery and fornication? Now, AD, near the end, I quote Surah 5, verse 43 to 45. Surah 5, verse 43 to 45. And it says this, but why do they come to thee for decision when they have, notice, they have their own Torah before them. Therein is the plain command of Allah. Notice that the Torah in the possession of Muhammad of his time had the commands of God and was considered the word of God. And it goes on and says, for to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book, and they were witnesses thereto. Therefore fear not men, but fear me, and sell not my signs for a miserable price. If all any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah hath revealed, they are unbelievers. And it goes on to say that if any judge to fail to judge by what Allah has revealed, they are wrongdoers. My question again is, what Torah was available? What Torah was being praised for having the guidance and the command of Allah? What Torah was in the possession of the Jews in Muhammad's time? Now going to Surah 5, verse 46 to 47. And in their footsteps, we sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the Torah that came before him. What was that Torah that came before him? What was he confirming? What was its content? What did it look like? We sent him the gospel. Therein is guidance and light and confirmation of the Torah that had come before him, a guidance and admonition to those who fear Allah. Let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah hath revealed therein, inside it. If any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah hath revealed, They are no better than those who rebel. Again, my question, what was the Torah available to Jesus? What was the Torah available to Muhammad? What was the gospel that the followers of the gospel in Muhammad's time were commanded to observe, and if they failed, they were considered rebels? Now do me a favor, Adi. Quote Ibn Kathir's commentary on Surah 3, 48-50. Surah 3, 48-50, you'll see Ibn Kathir. Look at his commentary. The Torah and the Injil, speaking of Jesus confirming the Torah and receiving the Injil, he says, the Torah is the book that Allah sent down to Musa, son of Imran, while the Injil is what Allah sent down to Isa, son of Maryam, peace be upon them. And Jesus, Isa, memorized both books. What books did he memorize? What was the Torah that he had available, that he memorized, that he confirmed as true? And what was the Torah available during the time of Muhammad? Then he goes on to say, if you believe, and I've come confirming that which is before me of the Torah, affirming the Torah and upholding it. Again, what is that Torah that the Quran is appealing to as being available during the time of Jesus and as well as Muhammad's time? Surah 2, 44. Surah 2, 44. What? Do you enjoin men to be good and neglect your own souls while you read the book? What book are they reading during the time of Muhammad? This is Surah 2, 44. What is the book that they are reading? Have you then no sense? Now Ibn Kathir says, and you read Allah's book, the Torah, and know its promises to those who do not fulfill Allah's commandments. What was the book that Ibn Kathir says they were reading in the time of Muhammad and that they knew its promises? What is it? And then he goes on to say, while you recite the scripture, the Torah, have you then no sense? You forbid the people from rejecting the prophet and the covenant that you have mentioned with you in the Torah. What is called the Torah? Again, Surah 2, 89. Surah 2, 89. And when there cometh unto them a scripture from Allah, confirming that in their possession, what was in their possession? Well, Ibn Kathir tells us, confirming what is with them, meaning the Torah. What Torah? What did they have in their possession? Why is it not being condemned for being corrupted? And then he goes on to say, O Allah, send the prophet that we read about in the Torah. They had it in their possession. And Surah 2, 113, I have a lot more to say and a lot more refutation. Surah 2, 113, the Jews say the Christians are not founded upon anything, and the Christians say the Jews are not founded upon anything, and yet they read the book, the Kitab. Now notice here what Ibn Ishaq says, the meaning of this verses and why it was supposedly sent down. Now here's the reason why it was supposedly sent down. When the Christians and the John came to the apostles, the Jewish rabbis said to them, right, that you have nothing to stand on, and they denied Jesus and the gospel. And the Christians said to the Jews, you have nothing to stand on, and they denied Moses was a prophet and denied the prophet. So God sent down concerning them this very verse. And then it says this, notice this, each one reads in his book the confirmation of what he denies, so that the Jews deny Jesus, though they have the Torah. So the Jews had the Torah in their possession during the time of Muhammad, in which God required them by the word of Moses to hold Jesus true, while in the gospel is what Jesus brought in confirmation of Moses and the Torah he brought from God. So each one denies what is in the hand of the other. These verses all presume that the Torah and the gospel were available in uncorrupt form. I quote Ibn Abbas, who said Bukhari commenting on Ibn Abbas's comment that the books were uncorrupt and remained intact. I have a minute left. Well, again, let me quote another verse. Chapter 2, verse 121 says this, and I'm sorry because I had so much technical difficulties, I'm trying to cram a lot of information. Chapter 2, verse 121 says this, those to whom we have given the book, study it as it should be studied. They are the ones that believe therein. Now here is Al-Zamakhshari's commentary. Zamakhshari says that this verse means they to whom we have given the scriptures are the faithful among the book, the people of the book, who recite the scriptures in their true recitation, neither altering nor changing them. My time is up. In the rebuttal period, I'll address the rest of the points. I apologize for going out over time. Lord bless.
Okay, thank you very much, Anson Islam, Sam Shamoon. Brother, let us reason. Are you ready for your rebuttal? Your 15 minutes? Please put up your hand. Once you're ready, brother, let us reason. Put up your hand, and then we can get this debate going on again. Okay. Take the mic, Achi.
Thank you for that presentation, Pastor Shalom. You know, it's going to be very easy to respond to your
Sorry about that. How is that? Is it better now? Okay, I'm sorry. As I said, it's going to be very easy to respond to many of your rankings and ratings. You know, you quoted Ibn Kathir. But, you know, here's where Ibn Kathir said that they corrupted an interpretation, and here's where Ibn Kathir says that the book is pretty good, but didn't you also admit to me, and you admitted in front of this entire audience of 73 people, that the view of the Bible of Ibn Kathir is that the Bible is corrupted. You yourself admit that. And yes, that is what he said. So in effect, what Sam Shimon wants us to do is that he wants us only to follow Ibn Kathir where he says good things about the Bible. That is his refutation of me. So, you know, I don't know what to say to that. But anyways, as I stated, we can't even call it a hadith, that there was a footnote in Bukhari. And I asked, where did Bukhari get it from? I didn't ask where Ibn Kathir got it from. Ibn Kathir simply said, oh yeah, that's mentioned in Bukhari. That's all. But notice he doesn't embrace the view. He doesn't embrace that view. So my question to you is, why is, if this was a true hadith, if this was an authentic hadith that could be traced back to Ibn Abbas, why wasn't it placed in the text? Why did it remain as a footnote? Which clearly shows that this is not an authentic statement of Ibn Abbas. He quoted Wahab bin Munabbih, that he collected statements. Some people defended him. I defend Ibn Wahab bin Munabbih. I defend him as being a good person, as being an author, as being a reliable person. I'm not knocking his character at all. But it is also stated that he narrated Israeliyat, and he was known as an Ikhbari. So he did not refute that. So there is no problem. Again, I pointed out that Wahab bin Munabbih got caught up in a lot of the Israelites because he lived among the Jews and the Christians, and he would narrate a lot of the things which he would say. So he did not prove tonight why this is a true piece of evidence. But you have to understand that the main meat and potatoes of this debate is what the Quran says about the Bible. I quoted to him three pieces of evidence. Surah 279, Surah 4, 175, and the acid test inside chapter 48, verse 29. He only attempted to address one of them, Surah 279, which I will address. And on this note, we can all go home, because you must come back and you must refute categorically that the Quran does not, that you refute my evidence, which I showed you, that the Quran stated that the Bible has been corrupted. Because once it is established that the Bible, that the Quran states that the Bible is corrupted, everyone else's opinion is irrelevant, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because the word of anyone's opinion that contradicts the word of Allah, that is thrown out. And Sam Shimon also performs the same exegesis on his Bible. He just doesn't follow his church fathers blindly, no. He takes the statements of his church fathers back to the Bible to see if it matches up with that, then he accepts it. So we do the same thing. Nothing too different over there. He said, chapter 2, verse 29, No, you see, you don't understand it. And what he has done tonight is that he has spun his own interpretation. He has given us to us what I call the Shimonian interpretation. Basically, he said, you know where it talked about the verse before? It said, well, some of them are illiterate people and they don't know the book. Verse 279 is actually talking about those people. My first response to that is, this is silly. Let me read to you this verse. Then woe to those who write the book with their own hands. He said this is not talking about the Torah, but then later on he shows that the book is referring to the Torah. And I will quote to him in case he forgets, I quoted to you where it says that we have, in chapter 2, verse 87, and indeed we gave Moses the book, referring to the book of God. So yes, this is talking about the Torah. It is talking about God's word. The book is not referred to any kind of bedtime story, Sam Shimon, and you know that. You wrote that in your article, that the book is referring to the word of God, and yet this word says, this ayat said, woe to those who write the book with their own hands and say this is from Allah. He said it's talking about those group of people who don't know the book. Now here's how silly his statement is. Inside chapter 2, verse 87, I'm sorry, 78, it said that they are unlettered people. They cannot read and write, and they don't know the book. How can you corrupt a book when you don't know how to read and write, and when you don't know the book? Can I corrupt the Toronto phone book? I can't corrupt it because I don't know that book. So this verse, the entire passage is strict condemnation of the Jews, that they've been doing this, they've been doing that. So this chapter 2, verse 79 is talking about all the Jews. This is a condemnation. I'm sorry. It's talking about the Jews and a general, warning to all of them. And again, I quoted in 259 a practical example where they change hitta to hitba. That is also quoted inside Ibn Kathir. So your interpretations will not work tonight, Sam. And then again, I have one common sense question for Sam Shimon. Why would we reject Ibn Kathir, Qurtubi, At-Tabri, As-Sayuti, and Al-Baghawi, and all the people who said that the Bible has been corrupted in the tafsir of this verse for your interpretation? Why would we do that? Do you think we're stupid? Well, this is my question. I mean, I'm dying to know that. I'm not trying to be mean, but I just want to know what this guy is thinking. He said, but not all Jews and Christians were bad. Some were very good. The Quran said so. I agree. Some were good. You see, it doesn't take 50 billion people to corrupt a book. It just takes a certain amount of people. Just a handful. Or not even that. He said, the Quran stated that it said that they study the book earnestly. Yeah, they studied earnestly. Good. That doesn't talk anything about it being corrupt or not corrupt. Can you tell me how much minutes I have left, Islamic brother? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but I believe in thee, the Torah. Again, I stated to you in the hadith what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's position on the Bible. Didn't he say that inside that hadith? Let me quote it real quick. He said, do not verify them nor falsify them, but say we believe in Allah apostle. And if it is false, then do not confirm it. And I'm sorry, that's another hadith. But he says, but we believe in Allah and whatever is revealed to us and whatever is revealed to you. He said, we believe in whatever is revealed to you. So that is his position. Do not falsify and do not verify what they tell you from the Torah. Just say we believe in what was real to you. So that is his full position on the Torah. In the Torah there is a plain command of Allah. I agree. The ayat of the Quran is talking that in the Torah there is a plain command of Allah. But that's in the singular. But even if it's in plural, doesn't matter. We agree that the Bible is the word of God, but it has been corrupted. The Quran said inside chapter 10, verse 94, judge by what Allah has revealed. Let me pull up that verse right now. It said, notice how it says, judge by the gospel. It doesn't say that. It says, judge by what Allah has revealed in that book. So then how do Christians know what Allah has revealed in that book? You have to use the Quran. And that is what the Quran states inside chapter 5, verse 68. You have nothing until you act according to the Torah, the Injil, and what has now been sent to you from your Lord, meaning the Quran. So they need all three books to act upon, you know, and have some kind of value. Jesus memorized the Torah. Going back to chapter 3, verse 49, what does it say over there? And we will make him, I'm sorry, chapter 48, chapter 3, verse 48, and he, Allah, will teach him the book and al-hikmah. So Allah personally taught Jesus Christ, as it says over there. And over there, inside chapter 3, verse 49, Jesus Christ said, I am confirming the Torah before me. But I myself confirm the Torah. The Torah is the word of God. Sam Shimon has not answered what he believes about the Bible. Do you believe it is corrupt or uncorrupt? You are giving two different messages here inside on Pal Talk, but yet when you're confronted with other people, you say, it has been corrupted. But it's still pretty faithful. So, okay, I got 4 minutes left. Now, I want to read. Now let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about itself. inside Jeremiah 8:8, it says, how can you say that we are wise, for we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? But now, of course, Sam Shimon has his own personal interpretation of this verse. His interpretation is the exact opposite of what it says. This is an explicit verse which says that you have handled the Bible, that which talks about the corruption of the Bible, but his interpretation is that, no, you see, it's not the corruption of the Bible. Can you give me, let me know every 30 seconds how much minute I have left, because I want to finish this point. So, why did he say that? He says, because, you see, other people talk good about the Bible. He said, because people said that, in fact, even in Jeremiah, he said, follow the Torah. Daniel says, follow the Torah. Therefore, my interpretation of Jeremiah 8:8 is the exact opposite of it, where it says, where it clearly says that your Bible has been corrupted. He said, no, the interpretation is the exact opposite. It really means that the Bible has not been corrupted. So he spun an interpretation which contradicts the verse. Now, Dr. Carl Sagan wrote a balloon detection kit, you know, because he's used to this kind of stuff, dealing with, you know, this type of false arguments by many of the Christian missionaries. And here is what he says. He says, spin more than one hypothesis. Don't simply run with the first thing which comes to your mind. And so, let's help Sam Shimon out a little bit, and let's spin some more interpretations of why other people praise the Bible and even told people to follow the Torah. Here's my first point. Once you point out that there is corruption in the book, Jeremiah 8:8 points out that there is corruption, then everything else comes under suspicion of corruption. Therefore, where you see people praising the Bible, then in actuality, we could say that's a form of corruption because it's contradicting Jeremiah 8:8. Or vice versa. Jeremiah 8:8 is wrong, and those other people praising the Bible, maybe they're right. So these are some more possibilities. Again, remember Jeremiah was a prophet. Therefore, he would be able to help the people follow the Torah and keep them away from the corruption. And on Daniel, you have to prove to me that Daniel read and understood Jeremiah 8:8. And my last point on that is, how much minute do I have left? Can someone give me a marker? Is that the positions people take in the Bible, they don't have to give you an explanation on everything, even if it sounds contradictory. So therefore, you see, I think this is a matter of honesty, and I mean, some people want to engage themselves in self-deception. You know, they want to, you know, spin interpretations. But I think if people are honestly and searching for the truth, they're going to see that Jeremiah 8:8 is clearly talking about the falsification of Scripture, which agrees with the Quran, chapter 2, verse 29. Read both, and you will see that the Bible, it has been corrupted. I turn over the mic.
Okay, thank you very much, Nadi Ahmed. Will Ansun Islam please come to the mic for his 10 minutes, please? Ansun Islam, please take the mic.
Hello? It's actually 15 minutes. So you said 10. It's actually 15 minutes. So, okay, you ready? Now, it is kind of interesting to me that Let Us Reason has to mock and ridicule and attack straw men. Let me correct this misinformation regarding 279. When I said that book that they wrote their hands is not the same book, my point is clear. If in verse 78 it says they did not know the book, then in verse 79, whatever book they wrote cannot be synonymous with the Torah or the Gospel. I never said that the book doesn't refer to the Torah or the Gospel, but I said that specific context. Furthermore, I even said that even if Let Us Reason's interpretation is correct, that it's speaking of someone corrupting the Bible, if you read in the context, it says only a party of them, not all of them. That means the rest would have pure copies of the Bible that they would not tamper. This is especially so when we read Surah 3:113-14, Surah 3:199. So his straw men are someone who's not hearing, but it doesn't deal with anything I brought up. Then he mentions Jeremiah 8:8, and then he tries to attack my response as if I'm living in self-deception. Apart from that being an ad hominem, the reason why my interpretation is consistent with Jeremiah comes from Jeremiah himself. Let us reason fails to reason here that when Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah 8:8, he was a prophet from God receiving revelation. If, let's suppose, Jeremiah 8:8 was referring to the corruption of the Torah, could not the same God who had told Jeremiah that the Torah was corrupt reveal to him the original Torah intact and preserve it? You better believe he can. Now, A.D., quote that section. When Jeremiah's own scroll was being burned and destroyed, God told Jeremiah to rewrite it, so therefore God was able to preserve the message of Jeremiah. Why couldn't he do the same for the Torah? But let us reason in his haste and zeal to find Bible contradiction. We'll quote any verse, even when he fails to understand the meaning and context. Now here's what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 36. A.D., quote the rest of it, please. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. Here's my question. If God can have Jeremiah rewrite the revelation given to him, then why couldn't God rewrite the Torah in its full form, especially when there were prophets who were speaking by inspiration, even according to the Muslims, did not eat from Israel until the time of Jesus? So let us keep in, your obfuscation doesn't help you here. The fact that Jeremiah is a living prophet, receiving living oracles, the fact that Daniel's a prophet, affirms that they could restore the Torah if it had been corrupted. That's if it was corrupted. An accurate reading of the contextual meaning refers not to corruption of the text, but to misinterpretation by their false writings and commentaries, much like you find in Judaism today regarding the Talmud. Then he comes back and he comments on Bukhari's footnote. Well, Bukhari didn't include it in the main text, it wasn't important. On the contrary, the fact that Bukhari was very stringent and wouldn't accept anything that didn't meet his specifications actually proves that this statement from Ibn Abbas met approval. Otherwise, he would not have included it. He would not have supported it. Ibn Kathir wouldn't say that Bukhari commented on it and quoted it with approval. So again, it seems that the evidence from your own sources refute you, and you're trying to, again, attack straw men, bring up red herrings, and attack me personally, but that's all right. Now, A.D., do me a favor. Quote that source regarding the earliest Muslim's view on the biblical text from Thomas Michael. Do me a favor and quote that for me, A.D. For the sake of time, we don't have much time. Quote that for me so I can deal with this issue and see what, again, the early Muslims said. Why don't we follow Ibn Kathir? Why don't we follow in Al-Qurtubi? Why don't we follow this person and that person? What about these people? The early Muslim polemicists such as Ali Al-Tabari, the Zaydi Al-Qasim Ibn Ibrahim, Al-Hassan Ibn Ayyub, applied the concept of Tarif Al-Mana', excuse my mispronunciation, to the Christian as well as Jewish scriptures. The later polemicists of the Ash'arite school, such as Al-Baqalani, Al-Ghazali, Fakhr al-Din al-Razi, approach the Bible as basically sound in its text, but misinterpreted by the Christians and Jews. So the comment, why don't we accept Ibn Kathir and Qurtubi? Again, saying all Muslims of all times believe the Bible is pure. But the earliest evidence shows that the first Muslims believed in the integrity of the scripture, and some of the greatest minds of Islam also affirmed its textual purity. So now, let us reason, for the life of me, I don't understand, why don't you accept Wahab bin Munabba? Why don't you accept Ibn Abbas? Why don't you accept Al-Baqalani? Why don't you accept Al-Ghazali? Why don't you accept Fakhr al-Din al-Razi and their interpretation that the biblical text remained pure and intact? Then he comes back and says, yes, well, Muhammad believed in the Torah like he does. On the contrary, Muhammad believed in the Torah in his possession as the prophet of God and never said that it was corrupt. In fact, in my presence, you're misquoting your own hadith. You keep quoting this hadith here. And you say here that this proves that Muhammad rejected the Torah. Now let me show you how Let Us Reason didn't even read this source carefully. Narrated Abu Huraira, the people of the book used to read the Torah in Hebrew and then explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. What Muhammad was forbidding wasn't the belief in the Hebrew text, but the Arabic interpretation to the Muslims, because that interpretation may be wrong, But it's nothing about the text. Notice it again. The people of the book used to read the Torah in Hebrew. Again, it presumes that the Torah was available in their possession. And then explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. And so what is Muhammad referring to? Do not believe the people of the book, nor disbelieve them, but say, and on and on. Notice he doesn't say, don't believe in the Torah in their possession. Don't believe what they say. Why? Because they made me misinterpret the text, said nothing about the text. So again, this is an obfuscation on your part. It's just don't even read your own sources carefully. And I need to correct you on that. Now again, he says that I didn't answer every objection. Obviously, in my 25-minute opening statement, I need to deal with as many of the issues that I can. So let me deal with some of your other arguments. You talked about Surah 48, verse 29. And that here's a quotation of the Gospel that supposedly doesn't exist in our Gospels today. On the contrary, A.D., do me a favor. Go to section 5 of the paper, it says some objections answered, and go to note 5, and you'll see I quote Surah 48:29. If you actually go to the commentary by Yusuf Ali, Yusuf Ali says that this is a quotation from the Gospel of Mark. I didn't say that. He said that. So if this Muslim had no problem in identifying this paraphrase, if that's what you want to call it, as a quotation from the Gospel of Mark, the burden of proof is on you to show that this is not from Mark, but a proof that the Gospel has been corrupted. Especially when the text says this. Notice the text. The similitude in the Gospel. Now my question to let us reason, what Gospel is the Quran referring to? Because it presumes that this Gospel was available for people to investigate. It doesn't say the similitude that was in the Gospel. The similitude that is in the Gospel, and notice it again, in the Gospel is about how the good seed is sown and grown gradually, even beyond the excavation of the sower. Now notice here what Yusuf Ali says. He says that this is from Mark 4, 27 to 28. That's Yusuf Ali. Obviously, he had no problem in admitting that the Gospel which the Quran presumes to be available during the time of this so-called recitation of this alleged revealed verse is the very Gospel of Mark which contains this parable. And notice what he says. He calls it the Gospel. He doesn't say that which contains part of the Gospel. It is in the Gospel. It's there. And it's Mark 4, 27, 28. So much for your Karna argument. Now let me go into some of the other statements regarding the Quran on the Bible. Do me a favor, A.D. Go to the first section again and go to at least page 5 of your note. After I quote Surah 2, 121, if you go to the top, you'll see that I quote Surah 6, 91 and 92. If you can find it, A.D., please post it. Here's what it says. Further proof that the Quran presumes uncorrupt Torah, uncorrupt Gospel, was available during the time of Muhammad. Now notice this. Surah 6, 91 and 92. All food was lawful. I'm sorry, that's Surah 6, 91 and 92. They measure not God with a true measure when they said, God has not sent down aught on any mortal. Say, who sent down the book that Moses brought as a light and guidance to men? Now notice. Notice what it says here. You put it into parchments, revealing them and hiding much. Now notice, the book of Moses is available to these people. They're writing it down. And what are they guilty of? Not corrupting it, but hiding it. And then it goes on to say, and you were taught that you knew not, you and your fathers. Then leave them alone, playing their game of plunging. This is a book we have sent down, blessed and confirming that which was before it. Not exposing corruption, but confirming it in its truthfulness. Surah 3, 93 to 94. The one right above it, A.D., quote that for me. Surah 3, 93 to 94. All food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel made unlawful for itself before the Torah was revealed. Now notice this one. Say, bring the Torah and read it, if you are men of truth. If any after this invent a lie and attribute it to God, they are indeed transgressors. Now notice, they're supposed to bring the Torah. What Torah? Where is there any indication of textual corruption? Why does the Quran keep misleading the people into thinking that they have the Torah intact, as opposed to saying, if you are correct in your assertion, that they corrupted the scripture? Nowhere does it say that. The passages that you quote are misapplied, contrary to your own assertion. Now do me a favor, A.D. Quote Surah 6, 114 and 115. And I know how he's going to answer this, but I'm prepared with commentaries to silence the misinterpretation. Surah 6, 114-115 says this: shall I seek other than Allah for judge? When He it is who hath revealed unto you this scripture, fully explained. Those unto whom we gave the scriptures aforetime, know that is revealed from thy Lord in truth. So be not thou, O Muhammad, of the waverers. Perfected is the word of thy Lord in truth and justice. There is not that can change his words. He is the hearer, the knower. The claim made by some Muslims is that the words here doesn't refer to scripture, but to decrees of Allah. Number one, nothing in the context, in the immediate context, says that the words here refer only to his decrees and not to the previous scriptures or to the Quran itself. Secondly, I have a list of many Muslim commentators who say that the words here either refer to the Quran or to the book in heaven, which means in principle that the words include every single word of Allah, whether in creation or in his books, which would mean the Bible. And if none can change his words, that means no one can change the Bible. And if he seeks to undermine that, I have the commentary's truth is misinterpretation. Show us why it doesn't refer to the Bible, contrary to your assertion. Now, Ed, do me a favor. Jump a couple of pages, because our time is running out. You're going to find Surah 7, 157. Surah 7, 157. This verse presumes that the copies of the Torah and Gospel were available in uncorrupt form. Surah 7, 157. Those who follow the Messenger, the Prophet who can neither read nor write, whom they will find described in the Torah and the Gospel which are with them. Can you please explain to the people what Torah and Gospel with them? If you say the Gospel is corrupted, that doesn't answer my question. What is that Gospel? What is the Quran referring to in saying that was with the Jews and Christians? What is that Torah? You keep saying corruption, but you failed to prove it. Please explain and answer me what that Torah and Gospel looked like during the time of your Prophet. It was with them. I need an explanation. Now let me give you Ibn Kathir's commentary. This is what it says. This is a description of the Prophet Muhammad in the books of the prophets. This is a description in the books of the prophets. What books of the prophets is Ibn Kathir referring to? If they are corrupted, you cannot say these are the books of the prophets, because they cannot be trusted. Now notice what he says. They delivered the good news of his advent to their nations and commanded them to follow him. His descriptions were still apparent in their books, as the rabbis and priests well know. So it's still in their books. Imam Ahmed recorded that Abu Saqir al-Yuqayli said that a Bedouin man said to him, I brought a milk-producing camel to Al-Madinah during the lifetime of Allah's Messenger. After I sold it, I said to myself, I will meet that man and hear from him. Now notice this, guys. So I passed by him while he was walking between Abu Bakr and Umar, and I followed them until they went by a Jewish man who was reading from an open copy of the Torah. Explain to me what that Torah was, and why doesn't it say that this open copy was corrupted, contrary to your false, erroneous assertions. Now it's pretty long, but again, for the sake of time, I'm going to give the final two. AD, quote Surah 28:48-49 in the next page. Surah 28:49 in the next page, quickly, because my time is up, buddy. Do me a favor, quickly. Surah 28:49. Muhammad defends the book of Moses of his day. Why would he if it was corrupt? So now he's defending a false book, a corrupt book. Why would he? It would be nonsensical for Muhammad to defend this book if it was corrupted. On the contrary, the fact that he defends it with the Quran shows that he believed in its authenticity and Jesus is Lord. I hope you come up with some better arguments than your ad hominem and straw man. I yield the mic.
Okay, thank you, Anton Islam, Sam Shamoon. There's reason, first of all, I'd like to correct my mistake before. It was 15 minutes to correct Anton Islam. There's reason, please come to the mic for your 10-minute rebuttal, or your 15 minutes. Okay, Akhi, give me a one when you're ready. Let us reason. Give me a one when you're ready to come to the mic, and I'll release the mic for you. Okay, come to the mic. Start your 10 minutes.
Wait, let me ask, is my voice coming out clear?
brother.
Okay, you doing? Can begin the time now. Thank you. Well, I really don't know what to say. I posed a very simple question to Sam Shimon. And I asked him, do you think we're idiots? All of the tafsir literature, even Ibn still goes back to him, say that the Bible has been corrupted. Al-Qurtubi, Al-Suyuti, Al-Baghawi, and when you have all of this tafsir literature, what that means is that this is the early view of what the Muslims believe, that the Bible has been corrupted, and they all state that. I quoted you many references, and so, but still, he says, ignore all of that. I have my own personal interpretation, which you will not find in any tafsir literature. He says, you see, when it's, yes, the book is referring to the Torah, but not in this case, it's referring to some other book. Because, the people corrupted some other book, not the Torah. Because the verse above it said, some of the people who are illiterate and they don't know the book, they but guess. It's actually talking only about those people. Let me ask a question. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand anything. How can illiterate people corrupt a book? How can illiterate people who do not read and write corrupt a book? How can people corrupt a book which they do not know? So again, Sam Shimon, I really don't understand why you want us to accept your own personal concocted interpretation. Let me move to the next point of Jeremiah 8:8. I think it's very important for us to understand Sam's predisposition on this. You see, he's in a win-win situation in his own mind. If you show him in the Quran where it praises the Bible, it talks about the Bible as being the Word of God, defending the Bible, he will jump to the conclusion, it's the uncorrupt Word of God. But if you show him in the Quran where it says, woe to those who write the book with their own hands, and the verse which I quoted to you, chapter 2, verse 79, he will say, it's talking about some other book. Okay. So when you go to him his Bible and you quote to him Jeremiah 8:8, how do ye say that we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Law here is talking about the Torah of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made it. The pen of the scribes have handled it falsely. The lying pen of the scribes have handled it falsely. But when you show Sam Shimon a clear, explicit verse from his own Bible showing that the Bible has been corrupted, he says the Bible has not been corrupted. It means something else. It actually means the Bible has been repaired. And then he says, well, you see, the very people of Jeremiah, he was a prophet, and they could have fixed it up. Sure, I don't disagree with that. They probably could have. But did he say he fixed up the Bible? No, rather, he's criticizing the Jews. How can you say you are wise when you have the Torah? Why don't you say, okay, the Torah was corrupted, but now I fixed it all up. So Sam has literally concocted his own story in his mind. He starts believing it, and he imposes that concocted, dreamed-up story onto Jeremiah 8:8. And this is why I say that there are people who tend to engage in self-deception. They cannot handle the truth of what their own book says. Because as Sam Shimon admits that, yes, Jeremiah 8:8, like many other people have admitted, it does talk about corruption. He has to close shop, and he has to get a regular 9-to-5 job like everyone else. Let's look at some other points. He said Bukhari was very strict. Why did he include that? I agree, Bukhari was very strict. That is why he put the hadith of Ibn Abbas where he talks about the Bible being corrupted in the text, and the one which talks about the interpretation was corrupted, he did not place it in the text, he put it in the footnote. Now I challenge Sam Shimon on that. Why did he do that? Why did he place the one which corrupted the text inside Bukhari, and I believe I read to you that hadith. The one which talked about corrupting the interpretation, he didn't put it in the actual text, he put it in the footnote. He talked about something about Al-Tabari and Al-Razi. These people never believed that the Bible was uncorrupt. In fact, go to his tafsir, chapter 2, verse 79, and he will say that the Bible has been corrupted. Of Al-Tabari and Razi never said anything like that. He said, why don't you accept Wahab bin Munabbih? As well as I do, Sam Shimon, that people have identified him as a person of Israeliyat, and he doesn't deny that. So my question to you is, why would I follow a person narrating Israeliyat? What the scholars of Hadith say is that since he never met the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that makes him a tabi'i, and his statements must be independently confirmed by a sahaba. And now when it comes to chapter 4, verse 157, in which it talked about that, in that verse it said that the Christians follow nothing but conjecture or corruption, he didn't even try to even challenge that. And this is the second time I'm checking you on that. Chapter 4, verse 157, you didn't even bother to address, which shows that this debate is over. There is no more debate because we've already established from the Quran that the Bible, that the Quran is corrupted. And going back to that verse, let me read it to you for again, since Sam did not want to, want to speak about it. It says, "And those who differ about the crucifixion, therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. And conjecture is the same thing as corruption. They follow nothing but corruption." Sam Shimon could not respond to that. Rather, he went on to Abba Dabba said this and something like that. Let's check. Take a look at some other things he said. Now, when it came to the clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it's when the people were narrating the Torah and they were translating it into Arabic, he said, "No. You see, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had a problem with the actual Bible. It was the interpretation, the Arabic, the Hebrew to Arabic interpretation, which he had a problem with." Whoa. Where did you get that from? Let me read to you this verse again. This hadith over here. It said that the people of the book used to read the Torah in Hebrew and then explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. Allah's apostle said, "Do not believe in the people of the book, nor disbelieve in them, but say, 'We believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us, and whatever has been revealed to you.'" Where did he say, "No, I only have a problem with that Arabic interpretation"? No. He concocted his own story and he imposed it upon the hadith. It says nothing like that. And anyway, this silly little story Sam Shimon has concocted, this can be very easily disproved, because we see on another occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told people the same thing. It said inside. Tell me how many minutes I have left, please. It says a narrative by Abu Namla, when he was sitting with the Apostle of Allah. And a Jew was also with him. The funeral passed by. Muhammad, does the funeral speak? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah has more knowledge." And then the Jew said, "He speaks." The Prophet said, "Do the same thing. Do not verify nor falsify them, but say, 'We believe in Allah and His apostle.' If it is false, do not confirm it. If it is right, do not falsify it." So he gives the same advice inside this here. And then common sense can rule this silly interpretation of Sam Shimon out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had Abdullah bin Salam, who was the most knowledgeable of the Torah. He was the most knowledgeable of the Torah among the Jews, and he converted to Islam. And he was a check man for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please give me like every 30 seconds what the time is. The Prophet had him at his disposal. There is no problem of Arabic, Hebrew to Arabic translation when you have Abdullah bin Salam. And not only that, but he had Salman al-Farsi, the scholar of the Christian scriptures, and Muadh ibn Jabal, and so many other people. And we know from the hadith that the Jews did try to pull a fast one about the verse of stoning, but Abdullah bin Salam caught it and said, "No, your book says stoning." So this silly he cannot refute the evidence I am presenting to him. So what he does is that he literally dreams up false scenarios and stories and he imposes it upon the text. This hadith talks nothing about, the only problem is the Arabic, Hebrew to Arabic conversion. So, there's no basis for that. Let's see, what else did he say here? Chapter 48, verse 29. He said, "Yep, it is there. Read chapter 4, verse 27 of Mark. It is different. It is not the same." And it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, the blade and the ear. The blade and the ear is the only thing which match, and then full corn of ear, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle. The Quran says nothing of this. We see here that the Bible fails the Quran's acid test. We do not find this verse in the Bible. In the Bible at all, which proves beyond a reasonable shadow of that the Bible has been corrupted, because a pure and authentic Bible will have this verse, which the Quran said that in the Injil, the description of such and such is like that. How much time do I have left? I know I'm running out of things here. He said, changing words. That is clearly talking about the decree of Allah, as we read inside other places that when it talked about, in fact, let's see, I can't find it here, that the yet inside chapter 39, verse 71, he says, yes, but the word of torment has been justified against a believer. A book was not thrown against a disbeliever. It's talking about the decree and the command of Allah. Unfortunately, I'm all out of time. He hasn't told me what he believes about the Bible, etc., and I'm all done. Bye.
Okay, Jazakallah Khair, Akhi. Asna Islam, if you can hear me, please come up for your 10 minutes.
Okay, hold on. Let me just see. Am I coming in clear? Put a one, and so I can move 10 minutes. It's probably one of the easiest debates. Let me just say, apart from the ad hominems, Let Us Reason wasn't listening to most of my arguments and misrepresented what I had to say. Let me come back to 4157. I guess it was wishful thinking on his part that he thought I didn't have an answer to that. On the contrary, let me again put my comments why I appeal to the Quran and tradition. I appeal to the Quran and traditions as historical documents what the first Muslims believed about the Bible. I don't believe it's inspired. Yet, and the evidence shows that the first Muslims did believe in the purity of the Bible. Therefore, when the Quran contradicts the Bible, that means that the author of the Quran is false, not the other way around. You can't assume what you've yet to prove. Just because chapter 4, verse 157 says Jesus doesn't mean the Bible is corrupt. It means that the author of the Quran was ignorant about the Bible, and he thought by appealing to it he would confirm his message, but little did he realize he exposed himself as a fraud. That's what it proves. Secondly, you keep saying that how could people who couldn't read or write corrupt the book, or I'm sorry, write the book. Again, instead of attacking straw man, understand my point. The word ummiyun, even in the Quran, doesn't mean someone illiterate. It means someone who doesn't know the scriptures, doesn't know the books of God. Let me prove it to you. Surah 62, verse 2. He it is who sent unto the Gentiles, the word ummiyun, a prophet amongst themselves, to recite to them his signs and to purify them, and to teach them the book and the wisdom, although they were before in obvious error. My challenge to Let Us Reason is this. Were all the Arabs illiterate? They couldn't read? They couldn't write? If so, what about the scribes of Muhammad, such as Zayd ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Clearly, the word immiyun means someone who is unlearned as far as scripture is concerned, which proves my interpretation in Surah 2, 78-79, that those who did not know the Bible, those who did not know the Torah or the Gospel, those who were immiyun, unlearned about the scripture, falsified their own revelation. Your counter-argument failed miserably to address that. Then you come back with the hadith and you said, well, here, Sam Shamoon is spinning his own web and all these ad hominem slurs. It is clear in the text that the author is quoting Muhammad as saying that as far as their Arabic recitation, their interpretation, you are not to trust. How do I know that? Because I quoted earlier a tradition from Sunan Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah that when Muhammad saw the Torah, he placed it on a cushion and said, I believe in you and in him who revealed you. If that's not clear evidence that Muhammad believed in the inspiration, authority, authenticity, and integrity of the Torah, I don't know what is. So if we take the hadith in context, you are easily refuted and exposed for not knowing your own sources and tradition. Then he comes back and tells me, well, I quoted from Ibn Bukhari, who mentioned this tradition in his own text, but he relegated Ibn Abbas's comments on the purity of the text in a footnote. Let me respond to that. In fact, AD is posting that text where Muhammad prays the Torah. First of all, this shows that you haven't even understood the hadith that you were posing as if it Ibn Abbas believed biblical corruption. A careful reading of the wording, and I have it in my paper already responding to you, and you say that I'm spinning webs. A careful reading of the text shows that Ibn Abbas was either referring to Surah 279 or Surah 378. In either case, it would prove that what Ibn Abbas is speaking about is not corruption to the Bible. But the false books that these ummiyun, these unlettered, these ignorant people who didn't know the Bible, passed off as revelation, or if he's referring to Surah 378, you'll find that in Surah 378, the words it says that they change the words by their tongues, and then say it is from Allah, exactly the language of Ibn Abbas. If so, that would prove that what Ibn Abbas is saying is that the Jews and Christians are misinterpreting and handling the Bible falsely. And yet when we take Bukhari's statement in context, it shows that what Ibn Abbas meant was, although the scriptures remained intact, their misinterpreting and handling it falsely is what is at issue, not the text. And then you try to just brush aside my comment about Wahab bin Munabbah. Let me say it again. I alluded to the fact that Muslims say Wahab bin Munabbah wasn't just a good Muslim. You're misrepresenting my argument. But that Wahab bin Munabbah wasn't one of those who passed off stories or that passed off literature from the Jews that were unreliable. Not I, but even people who are scholars of Hadith defend Wahab bin Munabbah as one who won authentic traditions. And if you go to that link right there, I link to Islamic Awareness where they write a full detailed defense from the Muhaddithin, the scholars of Hadith, that Wahab wasn't a storyteller. He didn't push Israelite literature, contrary to the false assertions that you're spreading here in the room. I won't let you get away with it. It is quite clear you had nothing to say of substance. You couldn't deal with the statements in the Quran that said that the Torah gospel was available. You couldn't deal with the hadith that say Ibn Abbas, Wahab bin Munabbah, Muhammad all presumed the authenticity of the revelation in their possession. You couldn't deal with the fact that even the Quran says Jesus confirmed the Torah, and according to the commentary, that Torah was the Torah of Moses that he had in their possession. In fact, do me a favor, A.D., go back to the first section and quote for me again what the Quran says Jesus did with the Torah. It's chapter 3, verse 48 and 50 of the Quran, the very one that he misinterpreted. You should find it in the third or fourth page of the outline. And says this, and Allah will teach him the book and wisdom, the Torah and the gospel. Now later on it says that Jesus came to attest the Torah which was given him. What Torah was Jesus confirming and attesting? And you keep talking about Jeremiah 8:8. It is clear in the context of Jeremiah, he was not referring to the corruption of the text of the Torah for the reasons I presented. And let me repeat that because you had no answer to that. Number one, if the Torah was corrupt, why didn't God tell Jeremiah to restore it? If God could tell Jeremiah to rewrite the record that was destroyed, that record given to Jeremiah, couldn't the same God have him rewrite the Torah in its original form? Secondly, other statements by Jeremiah and Daniel and Nehemiah and Jesus himself says that they had copies of the Torah of Moses in their possession. But since you don't believe the Bible and you're misquoting it, let me show you what your book says. Surah 3, 48, 50. It says that he had attests the Torah which was before him. Didn't the Quran realize that Jeremiah the prophet said the Torah is corrupt? If so, how could it dare say that Jesus confirmed the Torah when, according to your misinterpretation of Jeremiah, the Torah was corrupt? Obviously, neither the Bible in context or even your own false book affirms that the Torah is corrupted. And here again, let me quote Ibn Kathir. Look what it says. The Torah is the book that Allah sent down to Musa, son of Imran, while the Injil was what Allah sent down to Isa, son of Maryam, peace be upon him. And Isa memorized both books. Let us reason. Please, for the life of me, answer this. What book did Jesus memorize if it wasn't the book of Moses? And did he know it was corrupted? So your misinterpretation of the Bible won't work, and your misinterpretation of your own sources won't work. It is kind of shameful that a Christian needs to teach you not only how to interpret the Bible, but your own Quran and your tradition. And then it goes on to say, if you believe and have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, affirming the Torah and upholding it. What was he upholding? What did he memorize? You failed miserably to deal with this issue. Do me a favor, A.D. Go back to the next page and quote Surah 289. Let us reason. You tried, but you failed, brother. I don't blame you. You don't have the truth. We do. And an easy victory by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, quote me Surah 2, brother, in the next page, A.D. You'll see I have 89. Notice what it says here. Surah 289. And when there cometh unto them a scripture from Allah, confirming that in their possession. What did the Quran confirm in their possession? If it wasn't the Torah, and if it wasn't the Gospel. Again, Ibn Kathir, since he's such a big hero of yours, this is what he says. And when there came to them, the Jews, a book, this Quran from Allah, confirming what is with them, the Torah and the Gospel, Injil. And he goes on to quote, Abu al-Aliyah said, the Jews used to ask Allah to send Muhammad so that they would gain victory over the Arab disbelievers. They used to say, oh Allah, send the prophet that we read about in the Torah. Let me give you another two. Since, again, this passed over you and you weren't able to deal with it, all you could do was throw straw men, red herrings, and ad hominems, which only shows you had no arguments against what your own book says about my scripture. Yet you need to reject Islam, because on the one hand it confirms the Bible, that it's the pure word of God, and the other hand it contradicts it, which shows that the author wasn't God, but some ignorant who didn't know that he sounded his own deathbed by affirming the authority of my book. Surah 2, 113. Do me a favor, A.D., quote that. The Jews say the Christians are not founded upon anything. And the Christians say the Jews are not founded upon anything. And yet they read the book. What book were they reading? Now do me a favor, A.D., quote Ibn Ishaq and his interpretation or his commentary on why this verse was revealed. He says that the Christians and the John and the Jews met. And the Christians said to the Jews, you have nothing to stand on, and Moses wasn't a prophet, didn't have the Torah. The Jews said, well, you have nothing to stand on, you don't have the Gospel. The Gospel's false and Jesus is false. And now notice what it says here. It says, each one reads in his book the confirmation of what he denies. So that the Jews deny Jesus, though they have the Torah. They have what? A corrupted Torah or a Torah? In which God required them by the word of Moses to believe and hold Jesus as true. While in the Gospel is what Jesus brought in confirmation of Moses and the Torah, he brought in. Anyway, let me summarize. Let us reason. You failed miserably. You tried. You need to repent and ask Jesus to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, because Islam has kept you blind. Your own book confirms that my Bible is the word of God, yet you need to reject your book because it contradicts the true word of God. You lost, buddy. Maybe in Islam. Lord Jesus is risen. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Sam Shamoon. The debate is over now. We've had 25, 15, 10 minutes on both sides. What we will do now is we will go over to a question and answer period. Let's all take a 5-minute break. I would ask all the people who just put their hands up to put their hands back down. There will have to be a certain code we have to follow here. We have to have a one question towards answering Islam, and one question towards let us reason. Okay, so I would like to have all the people put their hands back down, please. Can all the people put their hands back down, please? Okay, hold on. Okay. Abu Nur, put your hand down. Put all your hands down, please. Will you please put all your hands down until I say put your hands up? Okay. The first Muslim, please put his hand up. Only one Muslim put his hand up, please. Or question to answer Islam. Okay. M. Quran is up first. Superconductor Muhammad, put your hands down, please. Superconductor Muhammad, put your hands down, please. Superconductor, put your hand down, please. Superconductor, put your hand down, please. Hold on, I need to red dot the room again. Okay, Anton Islam has a second hand up. Now, I guess this question is towards let us reason then. Okay, can I have a person who wants a question to answer Islam put his hand up? Arrows, put your hand up. I think Superconductor wants to ask answer. See, too many people are putting their hands up. No, it's for San Shamoon. That's not going to work like this. I think we have a pretty good lineup of people who want to ask questions. Let's all give the brothers a few other minutes to speak. I'm causing to think, well, okay. No. Okay. Well, the brother's still taking some. Yes, you can take the mic, answer in Islam. It's not going to count towards the 40 minutes, the question and answer. But take the mic, answer in Islam. May I first say that all questions have to be concerned the topic. All questions towards the debaters must concern the topic. The questions which are being addressed to the debaters must concern the topic. Take the mic back, answer this one.
Thanks, child of God. Yeah, I know I took him to school. That's by the grace of the Lord. But I need a 5-minute break real quickly. And if we can, because I'm at someone's house, if we can keep it to half an hour of questions, because I'm a guest at someone's house, I'd appreciate that greatly. But if you can give us 5 minutes, I'd appreciate it, please. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. The brotherless reason is taking a break, too. So both of you take a break. And then when both of you guys are ready, you know, put in PM that you guys are ready to ask your questions. Okay, the people were asking who's on the mic. There's nobody on the mic right now. Both Answer in Islam and Let Us Reason took a break for a few minutes. They will both come back to the mic in a few minutes, and they will answer and to all the questions which you're going to raise. It's going to be 40 minutes. 40 minutes question and answer. So those people who have questions to Answer in Islam, get your questions ready. Please, no disrespect. Please. Only questions which concern the debate. And then, I would ask, I'd like to, you know, have those who want to ask Let Us Reason questions. Please respect the debater also. And please only raise questions concerning the debate. So when the two brothers are ready, please come to the mic and say that you're ready, both of you. And then we can get this on again, inshallah. Once again, for those people who just came in the room, Answer in Islam and Let Us Reason gave a wonderful show, both of them. A big round of applause to both of them for the debate. And they're both taking a 5-minute break here. So bear with us. They will come back for a question and answer, inshallah, in a few minutes. And then everybody will get a chance for a time frame of 40 minutes to ask questions and make comments as they like. Once again, I'd like to say, don't disrespect, please. Don't offend anybody. Show that you truly have faith in your Lord, in your religion, whoever it is, and ask you questions according to a correct understanding of a character. Okay, and the topic has to be related to what was being raised by the both debaters, inshallah.
I'd like to warn some of the people in the room. After eight times of posting, I'm trying to warn, where you at? Islam is the best religion. That's nine times the same thing. Could you please refrain from clogging and fogging and flooding the room, please? I think 9-10 times is enough. Thank you. Hang on, guys. Please. The room's getting out of control. Islamic brother, everybody in the room, 5 minutes is up. That's right. People in the room, please do yourself a favor and everybody else. Some people, you know, their eyes are hurting, maybe watering. The scrolling of text and posting the same thing over and over again. It's enough. Please, settle down, okay? Whoever's going to come next on the mic, let us reason. I guess there's 30 minutes of Q&A, so do what we have to do here. But please, people, be respectful in the room.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Who is going to take the first affirmative to answer the questions? Who's going to take the first? Who would take the first question? As a matter of fact, how are we going to do this? Is Anson Islam ready? Where did Anson Islam go? Okay. Is Anson Islam ready? It doesn't matter who was first, M. Quran. Everybody's going to get a chance. Don't worry, brother. Okay, Anson Islam is ready. I see his hand up. So, Muhammad in the Bible, take the mic and ask your first question, inshallah.
Can I just point out one thing real quick? That when all the questions are going to pertain to the topic, you're going to have to go very quickly, 3 minutes per person.
Could you please repeat that again? Let us reason. We didn't hear you, brother. Please come back to the mic and repeat that. We didn't hear you at all.
I'm sorry about that. What I was saying is that let's limit the questions, the response for 3 minutes, and the questioner asks the question very quick because he only got 3 minutes, and they have to be totally related to what we talked and discussed tonight.
Okay, do you agree to that, Anson Islam? Type a 1 on the screen if you agree to that. Anson Islam, type a 1 if you agree to what the brother just... okay, very good. Okay, Muhammad in the Bible, your first question, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and peace to you all. Actually, my question is to Answering Islam. Okay, which Bible you are talking about, Answering Islam? Now, I have about 4, 5, 6 Bibles. For example, the Orthodox Bible has 86 books. The Charismatic Bible has 76 books. Roman Catholic Bible has 73 books. And the King James Bible has 56 books. Why you remove all these boxes? Why? You don't even put them in one verse. Boxes. You know, that's amazing. And when you refer to the Quran, you know, we believe in the original Torah and the original Bible, the original Gospel, the Gospel of Jesus, not the Gospels of Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John. These are Gospels, but we believe in one Gospel. Where is that? Where is the Gospel of Jesus? And why you remove all these boxes? You know, I'm really wondering. This is my first question. I'm going to come back and bring more questions to my friend Answering Islam. Thank you.
Okay, can I answer or no?
Answer, Islam, come to the mic and answer the question, please. Feel free to come to the mic when you see a question is asked to you, and you too let us reason.
Do me a favor, admins. If I'm going to answer, keep it. We got the text to become a moment because my friend AD is going to put my responses. And they keep quoting it, and I won't be able to show them what I'm quoting from. Could you try to hand out a hat? And only people asking questions be on red dot as you do for answers. Because there's so much line. My guy can't do anything.
Yeah, let me jump up here real quick, please, so we can get this going, okay? This room's getting out of control. Please, everyone, stop spanning the room. Settle down. No more of the spanning. Otherwise, everyone's going to get a red dot, and then the people that are going to pose their questions are only going to be able to get a chance to talk. So please, stop spamming, stop flooding, okay? Last warning. Thank you.
Hey, Buck, I'll add you to it. Okay, if that's an agreement, I'm going to go forward. Now, you asked me 2 questions, and in the sake of 3 minutes, I need to answer. First of all, as far as the Orthodox, the Protestant, and the Catholic Bibles, for the most part, the differences lie in the Old Testament scriptures. The differences lie in the Old Testament scriptures. Because that's perhaps the easiest question to answer. Number one, if we what the exact number of books in the Old Testament are, we need to go to the Jews who had the Old Testament. This is not just my opinion. This is in the Bible and the Quran agreeing. In fact, AD, do me a favor. Quote for me Romans 3, 1 to 2. See who is entrusted with the books of the Old Testament. So if we want an answer to that question, that is so easy. I've written 2 articles documenting this. Now do me a favor, AD. Quote Romans 3, 1 to 2. So I can show them. And let me know how I'm doing on time, because that was a very easy question. Muhammad, I like your questions. Keep bringing them on, so I can refute them by the grace of God. AD, Romans 3, 1 to 2. To whom was entrusted the words of God? Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect, first of all, that they were entrusted with the words of God. The Old Testament scriptures was given to them. The Quran agrees. Do me a favor, AD. Quote Surah Al-Maidah, chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 43. Chapter 5, verse 43. You should find it in the paper, because I'm going to answer this very easily. As he quotes it, you're going to see that the book of the Old Testament, the Torah, the Hebrew scriptures, were entrusted to the Jews. That means we need to go to the Jews to see what books did God inspire. When we do that, we will see that the books that God inspired in the Old Testament were the 39 Old Testament books, excluding the Apocrypha. In fact, the Apocrypha itself says, that these books were not written by prophets. And I'll give you the references. For those of you who want to write this down, 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 46, 9:27 and 14:41. It says that these books were written when there were no prophets. Now from your own book, Muhammad, it says to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book. So if you want to know what books are the inspired word of God, you need to look to the Jews, you need to look at their history, and you will find that it's the 39 Old Testament books, and these other books were added for any apparent reason. So that's why we reject the Catholic and Orthodox canon, and we accept the Jewish canon, because this is what the Bible says, and even your book says, and even the Apocrypha says it's not inspired. Now regarding the Gospel, and you said this is not the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is a false statement. When the Quran mentions the Gospel, it speaks of the Gospel that the Christians have in possession. If that Gospel is the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then that destroys your argument. In fact, let me establish from the Muslim sources that that Gospel included at least the Gospel of John. A.D., quote it for me, please, from Ibn Ishaq. The Gospel of Jesus was written down by John and was the Gospel of John. Quote it for me so they can see. I guess my time is up. Go ahead, A.D., quote it. I yield the mic. There it goes. Read it, Muhammad. This is from Ibn Ishaq. John wrote down the Gospel of Jesus, so you are wrong.
If I could respond to that point. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit, how's that, can you hear me? Yeah, first of all, I just want to correct Muhammad in the Bible. The Gospel is with them, but it has been corrupted and it has been changed. Hold on, 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Can you hear me now? Can you put a 1 if you can hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, is it good? Okay. Okay. Now let me just say that the Gospel is with them, but they corrupted the Gospel, which Sam Shimon did not respond inside chapter 4, verse 157. And I've been hammering this, hoping to get some response. It says, those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. It's talking about the crucifixion. They follow nothing but conjecture, or which is the same thing as corruption. That's all they follow. Sam Shimon has not responded to that. So I'm asking Sam, if this is not talking about the Bible, what is it talking about? The Toronto phone book? What is it talking about? He did not respond. Again, Sam Shimon has not responded what he believes about the Bible. Because I can guarantee you he will come up to the Bible and he will say, yes, the Bible has been corrupted. It has been changed, but it's very reliable still. We know where the errors are, as I played that tape for you. And that's very important, because he's been asking the question, if the Bible was corrupt, why do you call it the Word of God? Why do you say it has been confirmed? And Sam, you yourself do the same thing, because you hold that the Bible has been corrupted, and you still call it the Word of God. I yield the mic.
Okay, there seems to be a problem here. First of all, let us reason. We can't hear you. We can't hear you at all. It's very quiet. You can come back to the mic. We can't hear you at all. Now, there seems to be a problem here on the counter rebuttals. Anson Islam does not want to give you a chance to counter rebuttal, and I think likewise, I don't know what's going on. So, Anson Islam, come to the mic and state your case, and after that we can work something out, inshallah.
Yeah, first of all, it's not I don't want to give him rebuttal period. I heard Let Us Reason say, keep the questions to a minimum and three-minute responses. He didn't tell me there will be counter-responses. If they want counter-responses, let's go for it. I don't mind. And if that's the case, then I'm fine with it. But you got to set out beforehand the rules of answering questions. From my understanding, what he said was, there will be a question and 3-minute response. He didn't say 3 minutes for each speaker. But I don't mind, because that will give me opportunity to expose his straw man and his misrepresentation of my argument. So if you want to do that, let's do it.
Okay, so how are we going to do this? Somebody asks a question. The person who the question is set to answers for 3 minutes. And how long do you two want to agree on a counter rebuttal time? 2 minutes of 2 minutes each. Then, okay, I see two, I see three here. Both of you guys are not agreeing on this. I say somebody comes up, asks a question. The person on who the question has been asked to answers the question in 2 minutes. And then, if the other debater wants to counter rebuttal, he has 1 minute. How about that? How about that? Two and one. Okay. 3 and 2. 2 and 1. I see different numbers here now. Okay, 2 minutes each. Okay, just 2 minutes each? 2 minutes each. How about it? Can we agree on 2 minutes each? 2 minutes each it is. Okay. Next question. Purpose of life. Come up.
You guys said that you didn't hear what I said. Could I at least respond to what Sam Shimon or what Muhammad in the Bible has said? Could I do that?
Go ahead, brother. We didn't hear what you said exactly. Come and take your 2 minutes on that rebuttal.
Okay. What I was asking Sam Shimon, you know, he said, first of all, I want to correct Muhammad in the Bible. You can't hear me. I'm too loud. Oh, well. Okay, listen. The Bible, which the Christians have today, that this is the gospel which the Quran was talking about. But there is conjecture in it, there is corruption in it, and as inside Surah chapter 4, verse 157, which Sam Shimon has never even addressed in the entire debate, where it says, they followed nothing but conjecture in regards to the crucifixion. And we all know that the Christians follow the Bible. He has not come up and told me, no, this is not referring to the Bible. Conjecture is the same thing as corruption. He has not come up and told us, what does he believe about the Bible? Corrupt or uncorrupt? And I challenged him twice, at least three times, I think, and the entire debate, he has not come up and done that. Because I know his answer. He will say the Bible has been corrupted, but it's still in pretty good shape. That's his answer. But if he says the Bible has been corrupted, then he's already responded to most of his objections. What? You believe the Bible has been corrupted, but yet you call it the Word of God, yet you confirm it? Come up to Sam and make, you know, clear up the air over here. What do you believe about the Bible? Respond to chapter 4, verse 157, which talks about the gospel being corrupted.
Okay, Jazakallah Khair. Purpose of life, come up and ask your question, please. Purpose of life, please ask your question. Okay, M. Quran, please jump. Hold on, I'm getting a PM now. You have a red dot. Purpose of life, the red dot. Okay. Take the mic, red. Purpose.
Yes, thank you. Just to this question for answering Islam. He said, that in regards to the Bible, the different Bibles, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Orthodox. So, the Protestant exist only in the 1500s. For the whole, before this, 15th century, people follow, or most of them follow, let's say, the Catholic. They should have the authority coming after 15th century, after Jesus, and changing the Bible and removing volumes and saying, oh, now this is the correct Bible. How do you know which is the holy? Now is it holy? Is the Bible considered holy again? Since the human can remove, from it anything? I'll leave the mic.
Okay, first of all, I guess you didn't hear my answer, because I said that if you want to know what the Old Testament is, you go to the Jews. I quoted the New Testament and the Quran that agrees that the Old Testament was in the hands of the Jews. They know what the revelation is because it was interpreted to them. And the reason why Protestants reject the Apocrypha that was only officially canonized in 1546 AD by the Roman Catholic Church is because the Jews and the testimony of Christ. Luke 24:44, Jesus here says that what was written about him in the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Go back historically, you'll see that this threefold collection did not include the Apocrypha. So I'm following the Jews before and during the time of Christ, as Christ and your Quran says that I should. Now furthermore, I just want to come back to what Let Us Reason says. Let Us Reason obviously hasn't heard my response. In my last 10 minutes, I refuted his misinterpretation of 4157. The fact that he doesn't get it is an indication of his ability to understand my argument. And then he says that the gospel has been changed. You still haven't shown it. You need to give me the evidence that it's been changed. The evidence shows it's not been changed. So please do me a favor. Stop misquoting me. And then you said, I said that the Bible's corrupt. I trust you. All I said in my debate, I said that the Bible and the Quran has come down with variant readings so that no manuscripts have come down without any variant readings. But that doesn't undermine the authority of the Bible. And yet the Quran has variant readings, which Shabir Ali admitted in the debate. So that means by your criteria, trash the Quran, it's been corrupted. Enough of the misrepresentation. I won't let you get away with lying about what I've said. I yield the mic.
Yes, Sam, you are clearly evading what I challenged you to. First of all, I will challenge you to debate, and I will prove to you the Quran is 100% pure. We have no King James version of the Quran. We have no Roman Catholic version of the Quran, but that's the next debate. Anyways, let me read to you the verse again, since you are a little bit deaf. It says over here that in regards to crucifixion, those who believe in it, they follow nothing but conjecture or corruption, and I'm challenging for the fourth time. What do you believe? Does this not talk about the Bible? How can the Bible escape this indictment? And they say those who disagree that Jesus was not crucified, they have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but doubts, and they follow the Holy Bible, Sam. Yet you are refusing to address that. The acid test. The Bible failed the acid test miserably, and you refuse to answer that. So yes, just like clockwork, he came up and I played the tape for you. He said, oh, no book surviving from antiquity does not have corruption in it. That was his first statement. As for Shabir Ali, forget about him. You're debating me. And inshallah, the next Quran debate, I will show you the Quran is 100% the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah khair. Eros, please excuse M. Quran. He was actually in front of you. He lost the hand because he was undoubted to ask the question. M. Quran, take the mic and ask your question, please.
Yeah, peace be upon all. I just want to ask one question to Mr. Answering Islam, Sam Shamoon. I would need the assistance of his friend, AD 1973, can you please quote Surah 2, Ayah 113, the Christians say the Jews have nothing to stand on, and the Christians say the Jews have nothing to stand on, yet they are both studying the book, which is Surah 2, Ayah 113, you quoted it just now, can you please quote it again for us? AD 1973. Can you please quote that again for us? Because I want to ask Mr. Answering Islam. When he quotes it, we can see. I will ask my question if I may. I need him to quote it because when he quoted it, thank you very much. The verse which he quoted. The verse which he quoted. The book there is not the word there is not book. It's Al-Kitab, the book. Now, Mr. Answering Islam, can you please tell us what does the Quran define as the book? The book. Okay? Al-Kitab, not Kitab. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, that's an easy question. I know that your position is you reject the sound tradition. If you remember, I quoted Ibn Ishaq, Sirat Rasulullah, who said that the book was referring to the Torah and the Gospel. That's a Muslim source. If you have a problem with that, take it up with Ibn Ishaq. But when you say Al-Kitab, I'm presuming that you think that Al-Kitab refers to the one revelation that includes the Torah, the Gospel, and the Quran within it, and so therefore the Quran is not referring to the Torah and the Gospel. Now this is a Muslim and Muslim debate, because you're claiming one thing, and these others, such as Nadir, who's a Salafi, and the rest, are claiming quite a different thing. They do agree that the Gospel was separate from the Quran, so when it says Al-Kitab, it's not limited to just the Quran and all that it includes of the previous scripture. It includes all the revelation that was sent down before the time of Muhammad, and these were sent in different sections to different communities. That's why the same Quran speaks of the books that you must believe in. In fact, AD, if you could quote Surah 2, verse 228, you'll see it says that you're obligated not just to believe the Kitab, you're supposed to believe in the Kutub, all the books, more than one, and that's what the Quran says. So my question to you is, what book were they reading? What are these books that the Quran presumes to be uncorrupt? And about 4157, we have it on tape. Let us reason you've been refuted on that one, so keep harping, you're proving nothing. Quote the verse, Surah 2, 228. Surah 228, chapter 2, verse 228. The one I sent you earlier, I believe. So again, I wanted to quote it so you can see that. You'll see that it mentions not just the book, it mentions the books. So whenever he quotes it, it's there. Anyway, I guess when he quotes it, you'll see it. I yield the mic. Go ahead.
Hi, if I could respond to Sam Shimon, you have the tape, and everyone here has been listening to the debate, Sam. You never address Surah 5, Surah 4, verse 157. I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to keep doing it till you are man enough to come up and admit, yes, the Quran says that the Bible has been corrupted. But you are not man enough to do that, so I'm going to read it again to you. It says, in regards to crucifixion, it says, and those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge, even though they had the Bible with them, remember. They follow nothing but conjecture or corruption. They follow nothing but corruption. And I'm challenging Sam Shimon. Show me this is not talking about the Bible. Show me this is not talking about the Christians. And everyone knows that the Christians follow the Bible. That's where they got the story of crucifixion from. In regards to the verse which the guy raised, what Sam Shimon has done here during his presentation, unfortunately, I was not able to respond to everything he said. He blasted me with all these type of comments. He said that, he basically said, this proves that this is a pure, uncorrupt word of God. It says nothing of the sort. Just because it says the Jews and the Christians read the scripture, it does not mean that it's uncorrupt. This is his own silly interpretation. What Sam does, he goes throughout the Quran, whatever compliment or favorable thing about the Quran, he'll jump up and say, oh my God, it's the uncorrupt word of God. Like, for example, the Quran confirming what has been revealed before. This doesn't talk about the Quran being about the Bible being uncorrupt. Unfortunately, my time is over. I'll respond to the rest later.
Arrows, please take the mic.
Okay, thanks. Excellent job answering Islam. My question is to let us reason. Let us reason. You've been claiming up to this time that yes, the Quran does mention that at the time of Muhammad, the Jews and the Christians did have the gospel and the Torah, but it was corrupted. That argument, unfortunately, falls apart when the author of the Quran commands the Jews and the Christians to judge and to behave and to act to what is written in the Gospel. For example, in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 79, it says, be ye worshippers of me in one place, but rather be ye true teachers, Rabbaneen, since you teach the book, meaning the Gospel, and you study it earnestly. And more clearly, it states in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is Surah 5, verse 46, it's talking to Muhammad, it says, but why do they, meaning the Jews, come to thee for decision when they have the Torah in which is the commandment of God? How is it that the author of Quran is saying that the Jews have the Torah, and it is the command of God, and at the same time you can claim it is corrupted. You need to answer that.
Yes, this is very easy. Nowhere does it say that the Bible is 100% pure falsehood. It doesn't say that. There is singular the command of God. Go to Ibn Kathir and see what that command of God was. It was stoning. And even though stoning is mentioned in the Torah, the Jews are still coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give us the judgment on this. And Allah says in this verse, you have your Torah, and in there, singular, is the command of God. Why are you coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is exposing their falsehood. And about the Rebbeyun, yes, that even in spite of its corruption, if you read the Bible, you're not going to come out with a Bible saying, oh yeah, there are other gods other than Allah, or that there are human gods and stuff like that. Because the Bible, there's so many places that show that Jesus was a human being, and that's the point on that. Again, both points were addressed by San Shimon, and he jumped up and said, oh my God, it's the uncorrupt word of God. This doesn't prove that it's the uncorrupt word of God. It's simply pointing to specific truth mentioned in your book, and it's telling you to act upon the truth which is in your book.
Okay, Jazakallah Khair, Akhi. Superconductor, please come to the mic.
Hold on, guy. You want to rob me of my response time? It's my turn, Islam, be fair. Let me shut down his poor and pathetic arguments. He says I didn't have 154.7. Well, Lettuce Reason has told me that he suffers with ADD, and I have that email that I've saved. It's obvious that he does, because in my last 10 minutes I addressed it. But let me come back to his misquotation of Surah 546. He focused on, it says, therein is the command of God. He failed to comment on the fact that it says that the Torah they had is the Torah that Jesus confirmed. Not just the command in it, but that Torah that he confirmed. And yet he says, nowhere does the Quran say that it's 100% corrupt. Nowhere does it say it's been corrupted. All the passages you've quoted have actually been refuted, but I guess you can't see it, and it's become clear. You're very desperate, brother, but I don't blame you. Now, AD 1094. Now, this is an embarrassment to the Muslims. Now, look at what their God says to Muhammad. And again, I'm going to address 4157 if you give me whatever time I got. AD, go ahead. Surah 1094, buddy. We're running out of time. We got to be quicker. Surah 1094. Now, notice here what it says. You're going to see that here. If you are in doubt, we'll cut it piece by piece, bro. It says, if you are in doubt about the truth that we've revealed to you, ask the people who have been reading the book before you, surely the truth has come to your Lord. Now, for the life of me, why would someone want to go to the people and ask them if this is the truth of God, if they're so dishonest to God? The fact is, the Quran doesn't support it, the earliest traditions don't. Lettuce Reason is blowing a lot of hot air, but I don't blame him. He needs to save face. Victory in Christ.
Okay, thank you, Anthony Stam. Yes, you were right. I didn't mean to rob you of your time, please. There has been a question raised about the time here. I thought the time frame was 40 minutes for question answering. Okay, you only has 30 minutes, as I see. If you both want to extend the question answer, then we can do that. If not, we will keep the 11 minutes or the 12 minutes, which are still up. Superconductor, please take the mic.
Okay, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world and the Lord of mankind, and the Lord who sent Jesus as a prophet and Muhammad after that. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. I have something for answering Islam. Answering Islam, let me just post something here. Now, AD 1973, did you post that earlier in aid of answering Islam's debate? Yes, yes, okay, it's from his site. Now, there is these three dots in red that I've bolted in red. I'm just curious why someone as intelligent as Anshan Islam had left out the most important, crucial part of what Ibn Kathir said. Now, Ibn Kathir said after that, Ibn Abi Hatim recorded the statement, and then he further on said, however, if Wahhab, let me just paste it for you, if, oh, it doesn't come up, but you can go and check yourself now, if If Wahhab meant, however, if Wahhab meant the books that are currently in the hands of the people of the book, then we should state that there is no doubt that they altered, distorted, added to, and deleted from them. For instance, the Arabic versions of these books contain tremendous error, many additions and deletions, and enormous misinterpretation. Those who rendered these translations have incorrect comprehension most, rather all of these translations. Look, this is from Ibn Kathir, but you did not quote completely. My question for you, Sam Shamoun, that wasn't very nice if you didn't quote everything completely. But my question for you here is, from the Bible, from the New International Version of the Bible, from the New International Version of the Bible, it says here, the earliest and most reliable manuscripts and other ancient sources do not have John 753 to 811. No, that's not. This is not my question. My question here is, also, the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 to 20. And this is with regards to resurrection and crucifixion. And since you like footnotes, I'll give you a footnote. The footnotes say, in chapter 7, verse 8, some early manuscripts do not have yet. When will we have it? If they do not have yet, when will we have it? My question, do you think that the people at the time of the Prophet were holding the English KJV, the NIV or the RSVP that you are holding now? Do you think that they had in their possession what you have now? That is my question for you. Shall I repeat it? Do you think what they had in their possession, as you stressed earlier, did you think that what they had in their possession were the King James Version, New International Version, Revised Standard Version 1952 and 1971? Do you honestly think that those people during the time of the Prophet had those books, walking around with those books? That's my question. If you can answer that, otherwise you will have to concede that this is where you guys differ therein and you only follow doubts. Thank you very much.
Let me jump in here real quick, answering Islam, and I know you're going to answer. Let's get to the question, okay? There's a lot of people, hands up. Get to the question, and then the answer will follow, okay?
First of all, thank you, and for all the multiple questions interrelated. You falsely accuse me of not quoting everything in context. I just left you the link where I actually quote in context and comment on Ibn Kathir. So let me just silence that lie that you're saying that I didn't quote in context. Here it goes from the article which I just linked to, and here it is in full, and I comment on that. The reason why I left the three dots is because to me, Ibn Kathir's commentary is a desperation, because he acknowledges that Wahhab affirms that the Torah and the Gospel are uncorrupt, but needs to explain it away. Now, you're going to see what I said, so you falsely accuse me, much like Let Us Reason with his half-truths and lies. Here's everything from one of my articles on the website, in context, which you accuse me that I try to pull out of context. No, in the debate, I was focusing on the relevant issue on Ibn Abbas, Wahhab ibn Munabba, not on Ibn Kathir's misinterpretation of their meaning. So now I need an interpretation of their meaning, even though their meaning is clear. Quote the rest of it, AD, because I want to see what she's saying here. And she's accusing me of distorting it. Now here's the part you accused me of not quoting. This is in my article. However, if Wahhab meant the books that are currently in the hands of the people of the book, then we should state that there is no doubt that they altered, distorted, added to, and deleted from them. And what's this proof? His assertion. Listen. For instance, the Arabic versions of these books contain tremendous error. Now notice what he's attacking. The Arabic version, not the Hebrew or the Greek. Enormous misinterpretation. Those who rendered these translations have incorrect comprehension. Now notice my response to it. You said I misquoted. In fact, you're misinformed. You haven't read my articles, just like Let Us Reason. Here I say, Ibn Kathir disagrees with both Wahhab and Abbas that the previous revelation remained intact. And on what basis does he agree? On the basis that Arabic versions of the Holy Bible show textual tampering in the form of additions and deletions. This is equivalent to someone today, and this answers your second point, claiming that the Quran has been corrupted due to the fact that an English version made by Rashid Khalifa omits Surah 9, 128 to 129. So don't throw stones when you live in glass houses.
Thank you. If I could respond to that, if my voice is coming out clear. He said, well, Jesus confirmed the Torah. Yes, read the entire verse, Sam. Why did you just read half the verse? Jesus said that he confirmed the Torah before me. Isn't before me written there? So what is the Torah there? Pastor Preston is talking about Torah in its original form. And of course, I read to you the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Jesus Christ the Torah himself personally. But even if we're talking about the Torah in present time, no problem. I confirm the Torah is the word of Allah. I confirm it. The one which is in your hand today, but that book has been corrupted. It has been tampered with. But in your book there is truth. He says, but look inside chapter 10, verse 94. He said, if you are in doubt as to what we have revealed to you, then ask those reading the book before you. There, see, it's asking to go to the Jews and the Christians. He quoted half the verse. And this is the same... and you call me a liar. Come on, man. This is the same nonsense you do inside your article. Read the rest of the verse. It says, verily, the truth of the Lord has come down. I'm sorry, let me read it again. It says, verily, the truth has come to you from your Lord. Because God put that message in the Jews and Christians. As we read inside chapter 6, verse 114. Those unto whom we gave the scripture and the Injil know that it is revealed from your Lord in truth. That is what Allah was asking the prophet to go and ask the Jews and the Christians about. People like Salman al-Farsi and people like that. Anyways, you know, Sam, you still have not responded to my question. I'm going to keep repeating it till you come to the mic and you admit, yes, the Quran does say that the New Testament has been corrupted. In regards to crucifixion, it says, anyone who disagrees, they are full of doubt. They have no certain knowledge, even though the Christians have the Bible. They follow nothing but corruption or conjecture. Also, the Bible failed the acid test of the Quran. It said, in the Injil, you will find such and such and such description. You won't find anything like that in the Injil. Chapter 4, verse 27, doesn't even come close. And I challenge you, read both verses, 429, Surah 48:29, and then read Mark 4:27.
Okay, thank you very much. Anthony Islam has said that he said from the beginning he has no more time than 30 minutes for his question and answer. So what I would also suggest is we take I Want Peace, we take Adam, and we take Sword of Hate as the next three questionnaires, and then that will be it, because then it will loop up to Muhammad and the Bible again, and then we would have all the questionnaires actually filled until it, you know, reaches again somebody where I ask a question. So I Want Peace, please take the mic.
Is their voice clear? Okay, I had other questions, but I guess you wanted to remain within the topic. So I will ask, answering Islam, what do you think about the Quran verses 4, chapter 4, verses 171 through 173? I just want his opinion on that verses. Chapter 4, 171, 173. Since he's so knowledgeable about the Quran, I want him to tell me what does he think about that. Chapter 4, 171 through 173. What does he think about that? What is his interpretation of it? Thank you.
Since Surah 4, 171, 173 is not really relevant to the topic, because 171 speaks about Jesus being a messenger of the client. You can ask him that privately. But with that said, let me take the 2 minutes to crush Let Us Reason's fallacies and lies here about 4157 and about 4829. I thought I made it clear in the 10-minute closing statement that Surah 157 says nothing about the gospel being corrupted. The assumption is that the Quran is the word of God. Therefore, if the Quran says the crucifixion is a farce, if the crucifixion is a farce, then the gospels may be incorrect. On the contrary, since the Quran elsewhere say that the Gospels are uncorrupt, that means when the author contradicts the Gospel, the author is lying, the author is uninformed, the author is an ignoramus. And the next debate, I'll trash you on that one. So that's the response. This shows that the author of the Quran is a fallible, ignorant person who didn't realize that by appealing to the Bible as the pure word of God, he'd be cutting his own throat because he contradicts the message. That's the whole point of the debate. Regarding Surah 48:29, that again backfires against you, because Surah 48:29 speaks of the availability of that gospel. This shows again that the author of the Quran is again ignorant of the context of the gospel, because he misquotes it. So it backfires against you. It shows that the author is a fallible, imperfect human who misquotes sources, and he actually repeats the same story in the Quran with major verbal contradictions, as I will show when I get to you into the next debate and defeat you in that one as well. Jesus is Lord. Hold on. Okay, do I have 2 minutes or 30? How many minutes do I have left to speak? 2 minutes remain? No, it can't be. Islamic brother, how many seconds or what's my time here? He says 2 minutes. Actually, no, I'm really at someone's house. We're late over here. All right. Okay, go ahead. I yield the mic.
Okay, is there going to be something from Let Us Reason? A counter rebuttal on that? If not, Adam, ask your question.
That's actually very easy to comment on. The part which I am asking Sam Shimon to comment on is, again, chapter 4, verse 157, that those who disagree in regards to crucifixion, they follow nothing but doubt. They have no certain knowledge, knowing very well that the Bible is in the hands of the Christians. They follow nothing but conjecture or corruption. This is no way that the Bible can escape this indictment. Tonight, it has been clearly proven, Sam Shimon is dancing around the question. He knows this is talking about the Bible, but he won't come up tonight and admit it. That's okay. I've had my fun with him. I beat up on him good enough. Chapter 48, verse 29, Sam Shimon. The topic is what the Quran says about the Bible. He says, okay, well, you see, what Allah is doing is that he was quoting the Injil inside the hands of the Jews and Christians. Is that what it said? Wait, where did he get that from? This is what Allah is saying, what is supposed to be in the Injil. Whether the Christian, and we are supposed to now take a look to see if it's there. He says, but their description in the Injil is like a seed, a sown seed, which is sent forth its shoots, then makes it strong. It then becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the sower that he may enrage the disbeliever with them. And Sam Shimon knows this verse does not exist in his Bible. But Allah said that this is supposed to be in the Injil, and therefore this is another evidence. There is no conclusion that the Bible has been corrupted. You cannot walk away with any other conclusion with this acid test. And in regards to some of the mean-spirited comments he made about Islam, I'm really surprised. You see, this guy works for a place called Asian Christian Friendship Center. And to be very honest with you, I don't think he's a very friendly guy. I guess they'll hire anyone out there.
Okay, Adam, I guess you get the last question. I would have loved, sort of hate to come up at the last question here, because then the loop would have repeated itself to Muhammad and the Bible. Anson Islam, you needed 20 minutes to get your connection started. Everybody was patient with you. If you can't extend the questions to 5 minutes, then it's up to you. There's no problem, you know. It's okay. So, Adam, please come to the mic and ask your question.
Let me just take the mic real quickly. I need to make this the last question because I talk about it to Hockey Town, and I need to speak to Child of God about the biblical distributed to expose the misinformation and lies of Let Us Reason. So I need to make this the last question so I can talk to them, and I need to leave because I am at someone's house. I yield the mic. Go ahead, Adam.
Adam, you're next. Come on up on mic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Peace to the brothers and sisters, the Jewish brothers and sisters, and the Muslim brothers and sisters, and the atheists and the agnostics in this room. I just want to say that answering Islam You know, you can believe what you want with your semantics. It's all good, all right? And to my brother, let us reason. You've shown some great disposition in your articulate debate skills. It's quite obvious that there are certain attributes to a lot of things that are discussed that are unrefutable. Now, my question. Now, here's my question. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet, peace be upon him. Prophet, peace be upon him. Answering Islam, show me one religion in God's great earth that respects all three beliefs. Go ahead.
Very easy. Baha'ism. Baha'ism doesn't just respect those prophets in Judaism, Christian Islam, it also respects Hinduism. And Baha'ism do not consider themselves the sect of Islam, they consider themselves the new revelation superseding that of Islam. So yes, that's actually a religion that these three religions. So that's an answer to your question, and I just want to finish it by saying, let us reason, thank you for giving me the opportunity to expose your fallacies and misinformation. This is just round one. Round two, you're going to get knocked out again by the grace of God, and thank you for allowing us to tape. And I'm going to be posting the paper for the debate on the website, and you'll see for yourself how miserably short let us reason came from refuting the truth. The Quran says the Bible is the word of God. Yet because the Quran contradicts it, the Quran is false, Muhammad is the false prophet, and Allah of the Quran is not the true God. Victory in Yahweh Elohim, Jesus is Lord, and let us reason can't do anything about that. Lord bless you. Good night.
Well, isn't he such a sweet guy?
Hey, answering Islam, you have no victory, my friend. You have no victory at all, and you couldn't answer my question. You know, Paul said that the whole book from God.
That's actually proof I won. Because if I didn't win, you wouldn't jump to the mic and get angry. It's all right.
Look, I want to end this on a good note. You know, I think this was a good debate. You know, and as for the rest of these people who are hiding out behind their computer screens, like Quenelle Gayle, Silas, and Jock and Katz, please bring them forward so I can bring them to.
Okay, I don't know what's going on, but can we let us reason, please, bring his finishing statement, Muhammad in the Bible. Please, no personal attacks. Please, no emotions. Please, no referment to any kind of incorrect adab here, please, okay? Let us reason, come back to the mic, finish what you have to say, and then debate is over. And by the way, if Jock and Katz is in the room here and being quiet, never mind, that's okay. Come back to the mic, let us reason, please. Please finish your words.
Thanks. I don't know who red dotted place. Like I said, at least we got to give it to Sam. He's got the guts to come up here and take a beating like this. And you got to admire him for that. But as for these other people like Quenelle Gayle, Silas, I'm just extending an invitation, to debate me, and let's pick a topic. And inshallah, the next one is going to be on the authenticity of the Quran. Whether if it's truly 100% purely uncorrupt. And so, inshallah, I'd like to invite everyone to that. And so I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and I will see you later. Bye.
Yeah, but answering Islam, he made it up, and he contradicts himself, and he keeps saying victory, victory.
Hang on a second.
Okay, I don't know what's going on here. The debate is over. The debate is over. I think Anton Islam left the room. What is going on now? The debate is over. Now, if you guys want to talk, okay, cool. Let's start jumping the mic. Anton Islam left the room. So this is a normal chat room now. This is a normal chat room now. If you guys want to talk with each other, cool. I see a lot of people got admins now. I don't know why everybody is admin now in the room, but it's okay. The debate is over, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace to both the debaters. Good job. Excellent job. Inshallah, both of you two will debate again on the next topic. If I can, I will admin the debate again. I hope Hockey Town is also good admin, as I saw. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm sorry to jump in the mic there, Islamic brother. I want to...